Yo.
Hey,
What's up?
sorry I'm a little late.
Don't think you're late. I
Oh,
got 9:29.
I guess I'm not.
No, I
I
was
saw
just
your
ready as.
message.
Yeah, I was like, whenever you're ready to rock, I'm sitting here.
Right. I guess Rob is sick and Chris is still. I'm in summer mode.
Oh, yeah. I almost was like, Chris, you said you'd be available October. That's October 1st. But I didn't say old.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. What's wrong with Rob? He's got the COVID?
I don't know, he just said he's feeling under the weather. So am I, so if I start coughing,
Well,
I'm hopefully getting over whatever the hell I had. It
I
wasn't
had
COVID.
COVID, so I had
Yeah.
COVID maybe 2 weeks ago. So I still get a little cough every so often. I get that tickle, and then I try to head it off, but sometimes it comes out anyway.
Yeah, I did not have COVID. I didn't test positive. I have something else, but it was the day that I was gonna, or the week that I was gonna go for my flu shot, and I started
Right.
feeling sick.
Well, that stinks.
Yeah, so I gotta still get my flu shot
Don't
whenever
get that
I.
norovirus or whatever it is. That sounds like some bad business.
What is that?
Oh no, that's the new one that's going around.
It's not the vid, it's the.
It's the noro or noravirus or something. Yeah.
Huh, I'll have to look that up. Maybe
Yeah,
that's what I had.
I don't know. I was ordering some stuff for like sanitizing, and that was what it says on the bottle. Now it doesn't say coronavirus, it says now this works 90 whatever percent on the norovirus as well. I was like, well, what the heck is that? And I asked my boss,
Yeah.
and she's like, well, that's the new thing. I was like, oh man, keeps coming.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like during the COVID, I never got sick, and now I've gotten sick twice after
Right.
the restrictions have been lifted.
I know. I got through COVID until the other day. I hadn't had it the entire time, and then we were in the office, and there were three of us, and they're like, "Oh, I've never had COVID," and my boss goes, "Well, I hadn't either," and then I go, "Yeah, I never caught it that I'm aware of,"
Yeah.
and then man, two of us had it within a week, no joke. That's why you
Wow.
don't say stuff like that,
Yeah.
But
I've had COVID, and then it seemed like the COVID was worse than the last two things I had, whatever they were.
yeah.
It was maybe it's 'cause I had immunization for that.
I bet.
It didn't affect me as bad, but the last two, whatever they were, they stay on my chest for a long time.
Yeah, except for like one night where I mean, there was a day where I just felt kind of crummy, but then there was one night where I got like the, it reminds me
Chills.
of the flu where you had the chills and you couldn't sleep because you hurt all over. And
Yeah.
I hurt for like 24 hours or so, and then after that it was nothing. It was just a matter of you can't be at work because you can't pass it. So, and then
Yeah.
I had a few days off and read some funny books, watched some TV, and it was like, okay, I'm ready to go back to work whenever they'll let me.
So how are you balancing your entertainment now? For a while there, you were heavy into books, and then now you seem to be more into comics. What is
Oh, I don't know what's going on with me, man.
what is happening?
So right now, let's take COVID week and ignore it because that's an aberration because I had so much free time. I was doing a little bit of everything. I get up every morning and I try to read a little bit before we go on a morning walk. Some morning it's comics and some morning it's I've been reading a lot of like music books the last 2 or 3 weeks. So like I was reading about the 60s and I'm reading about the 70s right now.
Oh, you like the music stuff.
Yeah, so I've been reading some of that and trying to get caught up on new books because I don't know about you. You are what? Are you weekly or bi-weekly?
Weekly.
Weekly? Okay, so you always have stuff coming in.
I'm weekly, but I'm not weekly. Like I'm weekly, but I'm not read weekly.
Right.
Yeah.
But I get my new books in from DCBS first week of the month, and then I get new books in from my comic shop second week of the month. So I try to get some of it like whittled down before that comes around. So the last few days I'll get like a big stack of new books in
What
Try
do
to
you
work
do?
through them.
What do you divide up? Like, what do you get from My Comic Shop versus DCBS?
So my comic shop is mostly indie stuff because they're a pinch cheaper, and anything I miss. So like I did like you, I cut Star Wars completely out because I was like, it's too much. I can't keep up. I'm feeling overwhelmed. But then just like you, Dark Droids hit, and I was like, oh man, I wish I'd been reading this. So I jumped back on it. And so the other thing I'll order from my comic shop will be back issues I missed. New issues I missed, that sort of thing. So like I ordered like this last month I've ordered all the Star Wars I missed week by week, and I missed there was a Star Trek the Motion Picture mini, and I don't even remember seeing the solicit for it until it was like a couple of issues in. So I
Well,
went
that
back and
was an
ordered all those.
IDW one.
Yeah, IDW's buried now, so it's easy not to catch stuff, I think, because they don't have pictures. And it's like buried in the
this
back.
was a mini. I
Yeah, I think
remember getting a like a collect like a movie adaptation from it. I don't remember
Yeah, let me
a
see.
mini.
I'll look it up right now while we're talking. And the other one was there was one of the Day of Bloods. I've been reading it, but I skipped the one that was what's the name of that? Lower Decks. I skipped the Lower Decks issue, but it turned out it tied in. So I was like, dang nabbit, you know, so I went back and ordered that. So that was the bulk of the stuff I had to order from them. Let's
Oh,
see
was this
what.
Star Trek, the motion picture Echoes?
Yes.
Okay, that
I
was yeah, that's like a brand new mini.
Yeah, that was off my radar. Like I don't remember seeing it till it was like three issues in. So I was like, well, I missed it. But then I decided to go back and order all those. So like that'll be in the next shipment. But yeah. So
Were
but pretty
you a fan of the motion picture? Just curiosity.
as a kid, I loved the toys. So I've always loved the design. I was one of those kids that probably in 1979 wasn't going to see a whole lot of movies or whatever year it was out. Was it 79 or 80? I don't remember.
79, I think.
Yeah. So
It
I
was slightly
didn't.
after Star Wars because I was like,
Right.
well, what the hell is this? Like,
Right.
I just, it was not like, at that time, I only knew, like, I didn't know Star Trek. Like,
Yeah.
I had seen some in syndication, but I wasn't, like, a loyal Trekker.
Star Trek was one of those things that my sister watched that I was like, ugh, I'm leaving the room, kind of like Andy Griffith. But also, like Andy Griffith, as I got older, I got to the point I really appreciated it and liked watching it. Like, Andy Griffith's very nostalgic for me now, but as like an 8 or 9 year old, I'm like, ugh, get me out of here. I'd never wanted to watch
Yeah,
it.
it's weird. I never latched on to Andy Griffith. I it was more Dobie Gillis and Gilligan's Island and
Gilligan's Island, yep.
other stuff. Even My Three Sons I liked more than that.
Yeah,
Cuz I would
same.
watch My Three Sons.
I remember, like,
I
after
th I think it's
school.
because of the ages. Like,
Oh, yeah.
My Three Sons had kids. Like, he had three sons that had different ages, whereas he had Opie, right? I mean, it
He
was
had
like a
Opie and
little,
Barney.
yeah.
Barney was like a goofy
Well,
kid.
he was the best part of the show to me. I love
Yeah,
Don
he
Knotts,
was.
so it's
Yeah,
like.
me too. But yeah, I agree because I'm trying to think of the after school stuff I would watch. So I loved the Little Rascals. I loved Brady Bunch, Gilligan's Island, and Bewitched and I Dream of Jeannie. But
Yeah,
like the
those
other
two I didn't
stuff,
watch, but the rest of it I did.
yeah, but
Lost
like.
in Space I watched a lot in syndication, like.
Yeah, I don't remember that one being on. Star Trek was on and I didn't want to watch it. Andy Griffith would be on, I didn't want to watch it. And I never got into Hogan's Heroes because that was another one that would come on after school and I just like, ugh, and I'd walk out of the room. Because I don't know about
Same
you.
MASH and Hogan's Heroes I could never get into.
I hated MASH until I watched the finale with my dad, and I really liked the finale. And that was another one as a grown up. I've gone back and watched some and enjoyed it. But yeah, as a
That's that
kid, I
was my
hated
dad's that
MASH.
was my dad's show. He would
Yup.
love MASH
My dad loved MASH,
religiously.
Taxi, and it was one of those MASH spinoffs, Trapper John, and he liked all the Archie
Trapper
stuff. So
John
like,
was a MASH spinoff?
Yeah, Trapper John MD, he was one of the doctors from MASH, and it became a spin-off where it was basically like a medical show of him, like in the US and not at war.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. He liked Quincy. Quincy was a big one with Dad. I just remember the intro where he would lift the body and everybody would pass out, like the sheet off the body.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Because I don't know about you, but when I was coming home from school, there weren't a lot of cartoons on like over the air TV because we didn't have cable. So until G.I. Joe and She-Ra and He-Man and Transformers came out, we didn't really have after school cartoons. So it was always like old reruns of old sitcoms for the most part.
We did. It was Spider-Man.
Okay. Like
The
the
old
67
one,
one? Yeah.
yeah, the
Yeah.
67 Spider-Man.
Okay.
But like by the time Transformers came on, I was checked out.
Yeah.
Like
That.
I'm getting the new series, but I've always had trouble. Like I bought the original mini Transformers,
Yep.
but I've always had trouble like just latching on it. I've liked the movies, which is maybe why I don't know, the Transformer comic fan and cartoon fan never latched onto, but
Right.
I thought the last Transformers movie that linked in with G.I. Joe was just fabulous. Like
Yeah.
the it was like from Bumblebee on, I really liked the Transformers franchise.
Same thing. I 100% agree. I didn't mind the first one because I was excited to see him again.
Yeah.
But by the second one, I was done with those. But yeah, I loved Bumblebee because that felt very Iron Giant meets ET.
Yeah.
And then the last one, I took my youngest to go see and my eldest, and we just had a ball. We really, really liked that one. That was a lot of fun.
I thought it was amazing. I saw that one by myself and I was like,
Yeah.
okay, I've watched all the Transformers movies. I'll try this one, see what it's like. And it had a lot of things that surprised me in that movie. Like
Yeah.
I wasn't spoiled on the Link at all, which
Oh, I
surprised me.
wasn't either.
Yeah, so I was like, wow, this it's linked in. And in the after credits scenes, and like I was like, this is awesome. Plus the battle was cool, and the beasts, like the beast, it was like the beast Transformers.
Yep.
They looked awesome as hell.
I think that helped too because I think one thing when it was in those early movies, for one thing, the CG's gotten a lot better now than in some of those early ones. Because some of those early movies, I couldn't tell who was who. They all just looked metallic and I couldn't tell who was fighting who. But I think, yeah, the fact like they have like fur or feathers or whatever, it really could help you like, okay, I'm looking at a Decepticon. I'm looking at an Autobot, and you could tell what was going on, I think, a little bit better, like
Yeah, for me
design-wise.
it was just Bumblebee, I could always tell, and
Yeah.
Maximus Prime.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything else kind of looked similar.
So, when you were watching Spider-Man as a kid, had you already gotten into comics at that point?
Oh yeah,
Okay.
I got into comics pretty early.
Okay.
It was probably like 73, but I wasn't like hardcore, and I never
Yeah.
had any money, so I
Sure.
could, I, like, if I had a comic, I would trade it to get another, so I can read another comic.
Right. Yeah,
But,
I just remembered like there was a Batman show when I was little with Batmite on it, and then there was the Super Friends, and I
yeah, the New
definitely
Adventures of Batman is what it was called, or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, I remember exposure to those long before I read any
That
DC
was,
comics.
that Batman show was close to the time they had the Tarzan
It
show.
was, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think, did Adam West do the voice on that one?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually have the box set. I guess at some point I'll watch them.
Oh my God, yeah. That's it.
I stopped physical media pretty much, but
Yeah.
there was a time where I was buying like every cartoon and superhero anyway that came
Yeah.
out.
I loved that Superman one that came out, I want to say in the 80s, and I don't feel like it lasted very long, but that was a really, really good one.
I'm
And
trying to remember that. That was before the Paul Dini stuff, right?
it
Or
was, yeah, this would have been on like CBS or something, not on Fox. So this was just like some regular. Now I want to look it up too. And I also remember there was like a Superboy live action TV show for a hot
Oh
minute.
yeah, those were in syndication. I
Yeah, I
watched all
really
of
like that one
those.
too. Let's see if I can figure out which the
The New
80s
Adventures
version.
of Superboy. They actually had a corresponding comic book that came out with it.
It was New Adventures of Superman 1988 by Ruby Spears. And it was only 13 episodes, but yeah, I
Yeah, it
remember
didn't
really
last
liking
long.
no. I remember really liking that one. Just like my favorite, everybody always talks about the Spidey and his amazing friends. I always preferred the Hulk one that was back to back with that one. I remember liking that one a lot.
I like the Hulk one too, but Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends was like my gateway, like
Oh,
because
sure.
it was just them originally, but like as the show progressed, they had guest stars.
Oh, yeah. They
Yeah, a
would have
lot of
like the
different
X-Men
characters.
and Doctor Doom and like stuff that you wouldn't normally think of as Spider-Man stuff.
And the villains, and like I was like, oh, I liked it a lot.
She
The Hulk
was
one that I see on, what is it on now? It's on
Disney Plus?
Max, I
Oh, okay.
forget. Or maybe it is Disney Plus. You're right, it's Disney Plus. It is not that one. It's
It's not,
weird.
no.
Is that the USA one or what was that, the one that's on there?
I think
'Cause that
that
one
was the
has like
USA
Doc
one.
Samson and all kinds of
Yeah.
ties. It has Iron Man in it. Like I started watching it and I was expecting the Hulk that you were talking about.
Yeah.
And it wasn't.
Yeah. I don't know what oh, let me put cartoon. I don't know what it was on, but I definitely remember that one because it was the same era that
Amazing Spider-Man.
Amazing Spider-Man one was on
Towards the
Fox.
tail end, yeah, it was
Yeah.
toward once Amazing His Amazing Friends was two or three seasons in. I think the Hulk came in and they had the Marvel Power Hour or something like that.
Yep. Yeah, this one came out in 1982 to 83. Only one season, 13 episodes ran back to back with Spider-Man and his amazing friends. So yeah. It even had a She-Hulk episode. Man, I want that one to come out on DVD, man. That's the one I want to
Yeah, I
pick
wonder
up.
why Marvel hasn't done
I don't
that
know.
one.
The other one, let's see, The Incredible Hulk. That one came out. Nope, they're showing me the wrong thing. 1996 to 1998, two seasons. Let me see if we can see where it ran at. Looks like it was. It doesn't say.
I don't
Anyway.
remember.
Oh,
I
it was
don't.
on UPN. I forgot UPN
Oh,
was even a
okay.
thing. Yeah.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah, that is a weird one. So you had WB, which was owned by Warner Brothers. You had UPN, which was owned by Paramount, and they merged into CW. I always thought that was really weird.
And now CW is sort of bought by somebody else.
I think it's Warner Brothers now because
They're turning it into no, they're turning it they're getting rid of like all of the CW shows and turning it more into a reality syndicated thing
Oh,
again.
gotcha. So it's going to be like one of those just kind of like.
Well, they're instead of going after the teenage demographic, they're gonna go after the old demographic, which is
Gotcha.
probably smart because the older groups are not watching TV anymore. I mean,
Right.
the younger groups, they're watching YouTubes and all that other stuff.
TikTok.
Yeah, TikTok.
My house, I think, is mostly YouTube. Well, between my three kids, I know a lot of like young adults though that are like in their 20s and 30s that do a lot of YouTube watching too. So it's just something I never latched on to.
Yeah, same.
And I don't mind
I've
it.
tried. I just don't like I'd rather stream a movie or something. I
Same. I
or
don't.
watch something on MeTV. I don't know.
I like MeTV.
Yeah, so do
I
I.
almost never hook up stuff through the antenna, but when I do, that's usually my go-to because they have like Svengoolie and you can watch like the old cheesy horror movies on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, can you hold a second? Barb, did you block the. Okay, I was just checking. We were trying to keep Harley from going upstairs because she can't walk very well anymore, so
Yeah.
I wanted to see if she blocked the area.
I was worried we were going to have hardcore barking dogs today because we got an estate sale next door. So people people parked in our driveway yesterday, and I was like, what the bleep? You can't park in somebody's driveway. I actually looked it up, and yeah, you can't. That's trespassing.
Yeah.
But like, so the dogs were going crazy all day for like the last 2 days. So we.
I wonder if they thought you were the garage sale. Like,
I
that's
don't
so
know.
unethical if they parked in your driveway and you weren't.
I
That's so wrong. I would tow it.
know. Right?
Yeah.
I was mad. I went out there and I was like, I looked at him and like set my shoes down. I was like, what are you doing? And they didn't say anything. I was like, so I gave him like 10 minutes and went
You're
back up.
nicer. I would have shouted. I'd say, "Who's this car in my driveway?"
I couldn't believe it. I was like, who does that? I don't even
Yeah.
like to turn around in somebody's driveway if I can avoid it. I mean, you get snow. I mean, I hate like when somebody comes into my driveway and leaves tracks before I get to like shovel snow. That's super annoying because you can't get a clean scoop that way. So
Right.
I don't know. Because of that, I like never like to even pull into people's driveway anymore. Anyhow, but yeah, back to what I've been reading. I mostly been reading DC and Marvel lately with the mixing of the Star Trek. That's pretty much been. I haven't been doing as much indie stuff just because I've really cut back because I got too many interests going on right now because I'm wanting to read more. I'm wanting to.
Yeah, I'm trying to, like, for a while there, my back issue stuff was just, I was just procuring and procuring and
Right.
procuring and then not reading it. And I'm like, oh, maybe I'll just slow this down a little bit. And I still
Yeah.
have, but the last couple of things I've, like, not, there's things that I want and I'm just not going after.
Right.
I'm trying to, I don't know.
And that was one thing I tried to do too, because it was cool to finish off essentials and showcases.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to be focused. So like one thing I did do last month, not this month, is I bought the rest of Battlestar Galactica that I didn't have. So now I've got all the Marvels.
The
So
Marvel one. Okay.
yeah. So
'Cause
that's
you
one.
got the Liefeld stuff there too, the
Yeah,
Maxima
I picked up
stuff.
a bunch of those like cheap when I was
Yeah.
on a trip. So that's one thing I want to try to do
And
is like
there's
a.
the Realm too. Some company called Realm that did Battlestar Galactica.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, you can find them on my comic shop.
Yeah, I'll have to look into that. But yeah, that was something else I wanted to do is like try to not be like, and I've gotten better in general over the years, not getting seduced by just getting a bunch of stuff because it's cheap, you know, and
Yeah.
trying to focus on like, okay, I want to work on my Superman collection and you know, sometimes I'll find a run. Like I wasn't really interested in buying a bunch of the Teen Titans spotlights, but or ROM because the ROM's coming out in Omnibus, and I'm going to buy those. But I know there was one Saturday I found a big stack of ROM and a big stack of the Teen Titans spotlights, and I was like, they're pretty cheap, and I do have a fondness for those because I was a newsstand reader, so Teen Titans went to Baxter paper, and you couldn't get the regular Teen Titans on the newsstands anymore. You could only get like the
Tales of
reprints.
Teen Titans, yeah.
Yep. So it was exciting when Teen Titans Spotlight was coming out because those were new stories instead of like repackaged ones. So that was one I had a fondness for as a young person when going to the corner store trying to pick up comics. So.
Yeah, I left the newsstand pretty early, middle school, because I discovered that there were comic shops and
Right.
I could get so much more.
We didn't have a comic shop in our town until I was either in 12th grade or a freshman at the community college. I can't remember. It was just post death of Superman that we got a store, and it didn't last long because it was in that like boom and bust era. It
Yeah.
was maybe there for like 2 years or something, and that was. But before then, we would have to drive, and I wasn't driving to Macon as a young person, and my mom would let me go to the comic book store if I went to a Brace's appointment because it had baseball cards. And the only comics she would let me get was G.I. Joe, and except for back issues, because I don't know if you remember that, but those used to be like expensive,
Expensive,
even in the old days. Like,
yeah, it was a hot item. Everybody wanted it.
yeah, those early issues, the only one I had was number 6, and it was super ratty.
I
I tricked.
remember 2 was like impossible to find.
I still think the one I have of number 2 is a reprint. I think I have the Baxter reprint of it. So. Yeah, those are early ones with like Quinn and Dr. Venom. I don't think I read some of those issues until I was like probably 30 something when they started reprinting them at was it Marvel that did it initially and then it switched to IDW? Because I think Marvel still had it for like a couple of years and did a couple of trades and then they lost the license to IDW and then IDW finished publishing like the classic G.I.
I
Joes.
actually don't know because I didn't get into G.I. Joe until IDW, so.
Oh, okay.
And then
Did you?
I got my brother's collection, which was he was collect G.I. Joe, so I have close to a full run. I mean, there's some expensive issues. I
Yeah.
still like the last issue is real expensive
It is.
of
I
G.I.
had it and I
Joe.
sold it.
Yeah.
It's one of those. I don't mind that I sold it. I wish I'd gotten a better deal for it than I did. If I could go back and redo how I had sold it, I would change it. I'd put it on eBay or something
What did you
instead
sell
of.
it for?
I sold it to I sold it in the final issue of Star Wars and like 3 boxes of New 52 stuff and for like a maybe like $100 in trade, but it was one of those trade deals where you had to do
Credit?
half cash, half anytime you so like if you bought a $10 box,
Yeah.
you'd have to give them $5 and use $5 of your trade. So basically, I didn't get a great deal. And if I could go back and do it, I wouldn't have done it. But it was one of those where it was a drop off. And then they called me in with the offer and they were out of town. I'm just like, oh, that's fine. But yeah,
Yeah.
if I could do it again, I wouldn't. But that's
Yeah,
all.
that we probably could have got more for that one issue.
I could have, well, definitely that and that Star Wars issue both used to be,
Yeah, both are,
Like
yeah.
$80 books. I don't know if they still are.
It's because of the print runs and the demand. Their
Yep.
low print run because it was dying.
But yeah, that final Star Wars I bought at my grandma's pharmacy in Kentucky, and that final G.I. Joe I bought like a. Well, they're Kroger out here, and I think they're King Supers in Denver. So I
Yeah.
don't remember if I bought it at a King Supers or a Kroger, but bought it at one of them.
Was very glad that Skybound is still doing the Larry Hama
Me too.
long run. I'm more excited for that than I am for Duke and Cobra, and I don't know why, but I'd rather have that series keep going than the other two.
Did you get the director's cut that they're doing of issue number one?
I think I did.
Yeah, I probably have like 6 versions of that book and I still bought it. I'm a sucker.
I might have or I might not have. I've been pretty good lately, like I'll put in everything I want and then I see what the cost is and then I'm like, oh man, that's too much. And
Sure.
then I'll start trimming and I usually start with the bigger items and work my way down.
Yeah.
So it might have got cut in one of those. And then now I'm in the mode where, like, as much as I'm enjoying indies, I'd rather do Marvel and DC.
Me
So
too.
I just I'm trying to cut down on like new number ones in the indie world. And plus they've gone up a buck or two. Like
Yeah.
some are $4.99, some are $5.99. It's real expensive, and I understand why they're going up. It's because the demand is lower and the cost of paper and everything has gone up. So,
Right.
like, I get it. I just.
Well, cost of living for the people who create the books has gone up too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, ours is not. No,
Yeah.
I don't. So, I don't know. Gas is still a nightmare and everything
Right.
else is. So, it's. And then I always get the thought in my head, just like it hits me, but then I try to ignore it. I don't know why I ignore it, but it's like, what am I gonna do with all this shit?
Oh, yeah,
Like,
that's
I
been
mean, and
coming to my
I've
head
had a
lately.
lot happening with my family aging and
Yep.
going to the hospital and this and that, and it's got me thinking, you know, it's like, oh my God, you know, like what am I gonna do if I wait too long and I can't fucking go down the stairs to get the stuff, you know, like
Right.
I don't know. It's
Same. Yeah, that's
it's
happened
a
to me
lot of
too.
like I love them, but I and then I try to like be rational about it, right? I try to like,
Right.
well, you know, these apps are really incredible. Like the value for Marvel Unlimited and DC, if you read it, if you use it, is just like
Right.
it's an incredible value. Like
Well, two books right now pay for Marvel.
oh
So,
yeah.
yeah.
And
And
Marvel is
actually, a lot of
cheap.
the DC
I
ones I
just
read are
renewed.
$5 ones too.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
but the thing on Marvel is the quantity is just phenomenal. Like I
Yeah.
could actually have like a back issue and I'm reading it and there's like a little footnote and it says, "See this." I could actually pull that issue up on the app and
That's
read
true.
it.
Yep.
So I did that with like a Tales to Astonish that was continued in a Tales of Suspense. And yeah, I like that. And I'm using the apps a lot in the middle of the night a lot. Like just
Like when you wake up or
yeah,
something?
I get
Yeah.
restless and
Yeah.
I can pull that up and I the one I'm not using, I'm trying to use it, but I'm not, is the Amazon one, the
Oh,
Unlimited.
Comixology?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay.
That has a lot of Star Trek. I did start reading like the trades of Star Trek. I think I'm on like trade 5 and I was like marshaling through, you know how they did the new crew, you
Yep.
know, of Star Trek. That's what it starts off with and I just been
I
and
like those.
those are pretty good. Like
Yeah.
I really like the stories. They're always really good and everything's drawn well and like I know who the characters are and see, like Star Trek, I wasn't really a big Trekkie until Wrath of Khan,
Sure.
and then I started liking the original crew and like all the time. Like I started to watch old episodes, and then I watched all the movies from that point forward,
Yeah.
and
That's literally, I think, Mike, how I got into it. So my Star Trek is sisters watching it gross. The movie came out. I didn't really care about the movie because I couldn't go see it, but I wanted the toys because I just thought they looked cool. So and I could use they were the same size and I could use them with my Star Wars figures.
yeah.
But then just like you, my first movie was Wrath of Khan. And so then we went to all the movies right up through six. And then in college was when I finally watched all the old episodes. And I still don't know if I've seen all the old episodes, but that's when I started watching like the classic stuff.
I remember distinctively seeing Star Trek 2 because my parents didn't want to go see it, and we were in Denver. We weren't even home. We were in Denver, and we had just gone to Toys R Us and bought some stuff. And because back then, Toys R Us didn't exist in Albuquerque. It just was in
Right.
Denver. So when we were on vacation, like Toys R Us was like Nirvana, right? I mean, it was like,
Oh, most
oh,
definitely.
it was like, oh my God, this toy store has all these figures, and you were lucky to find whatever you could at Kmart at
Right.
the time or Sears. And yeah, I was like, "Oh my God, Toys R Us!" And we do that, and we were staying with my dad's friend. I remember distinctively, because my dad's friend had like cable too, and we didn't know what the hell that was. We were like, "Wow, there's all these stations!" And I remember me and my brother found like one of those Playboy stations on his thing, but it was scrambled, so
Right.
you would put it on that station, and you would still see stuff.
Right.
So we were in his basement watching like Playboy and we were like, wow, this is awesome.
Like if
And
you focus for a second, that wave turns into a nipple.
it does, like you can see it, it's like this is so cool.
Yeah, I've
If
heard
you
that.
concentrate hard enough,
Right.
it all makes sense.
It's like the Magic Eye pictures.
Yeah. And we were going to go to a movie and they wanted to see Ghostbusters, and for some reason, I like just didn't want to see it.
Okay.
And I was like, "Well, can I go see Star Trek?" And I don't know why.
Right.
It's so weird. Like, why would I not want to be with everybody? Like, it
Yeah.
makes no sense at the at now. It doesn't make any sense. And I was like, well, I don't want to go see it. Can I go see
Yeah.
Star Trek? And it and that alone doesn't make any sense because I didn't
Did you
like
get
the motion picture. So I was
Yeah.
like, why would I not go see Ghostbusters?
Were you
And
scared of stuff as a kid?
no.
Oh, okay. Well,
I
no, then.
just not at that age. When I
Yeah.
was a little kid, I was scared of Young Frankenstein because
Yeah.
Marty Feldman's eyes freaked me out, man.
Sure.
I there was just like they were so big, and he would say, "Oh, my hump is on this side now. Wasn't it on that side?" And I'm like, "Oh my God, that would terrify me." But
I wonder why you picked that. It was a good, I mean, you
I
made
picked it, and I
funny.
was like blown away. Like I was like,
Yeah.
"Wow, this is." Maybe it was because I went by myself too. Like I felt like, "Wow, am I a little bit of an adult now? Like I can
Sure.
watch a movie by myself." I don't know.
Man, I remember being so grossed out by that ear thing. Ugh, it grossed me out so bad as a little kid.
Yeah.
Because I remember freaking out at that thing. And but then of course like you're the next day at like the playground you're like, oh man, we saw this movie and they put this bug in this dude's ear and
It was in Chekhov's ear, I
yeah,
remember.
Chekhov's and his captain, Paul Winfield,
Yeah, I don't know who that guy was though.
I didn't know him in like in terms of Star Trek either. I think I remembered him from like some other movie I'd seen, but
But
yeah, I
that's how
was.
I got into Star Trek, which is way late.
Yeah.
And like my favorite Star Trek to rewatch is the one that everybody hates.
Number five?
Yeah, I love that one.
I watched that one pretty recently.
I think it's I don't know, it's the camaraderie of the movie plus
Sure.
the fact that they're dealing with like a godlike entity, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like mind-blowing to me. I
Yeah.
love the line, "What does God want with a starship?"
Well, yeah.
It's
Kirk's like, excuse
like
me, excuse me.
are you
That
God?
was pretty great. Yeah, I like that scene a lot too. Yeah, I think the only thing I don't like in is the row, row, row your boat part gets on
I
my
like that
nerves. Do
because
you?
it's just like a bunch of buddies and by a campfire just doing talking shit, you know?
Spock looks so confused, like row, row, row your boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
good stuff. That's one of those
It's
things I
weird, like
appreciate
two
more
of
and
my
more.
fa like I understand why people don't like them. Or like there's two movies that I understand, Superman 3 and Star Trek 5. But to those to me, those are my most rewatchable movies. Like I
I love
think
Superman 3.
Superman 3 is such a Silver Age goofy movie. It's like, you know, he fights himself, he has sex with some woman. It's just
Yep.
like I think the plot of that is, you know, well, I don't know how to make kryptonite totally. I'll throw in some tar.
So funny, looked on a package of cigarettes. Yeah, no, that one has the great scene where everything's boiling and exploding at that one factory. That's a
Oh
great scene. The yet again, that was when I was going to see movies. I don't remember if I saw that one with my friend Michael, I think, because there was a lot of movies that I saw with Michael and a lot of movies I saw with my sister, because my mom didn't do movies. But I remember seeing that one, and once again, I got really freaked out by the sister when she gets taken over by the computer and she's like all freaky robotic. And I remember being real freaked out. I love that movie, and I think it's
I did
when I
notice at
saw
the
it.
yeah I did notice at the time, and this is me and where I was. I'm a little older than you.
Yeah.
I noticed when it came out, I didn't like it as much because it seemed like a degradation in special effects. Like
Sure.
it just seemed like things went, you know, in Superman 1 and Superman 2, things looked pretty damn good, and then they just got gradually worse. But I thought in terms of like story, I was really captivated by it. I thought it was so good.
Yeah. Well, I think one and two were filmed kind of concurrently, if I remember it right.
Yeah. So
And
they felt like the
three,
same movie, yeah.
yeah, three cut, they cut the budget. And then four was made by the Cannon Group, if I'm not
Yeah.
mistaken.
Low budget,
It was super low
incorporated.
budget. Yeah. Did you ever watch that documentary they did, the Electric Boogaloo one?
Yeah, that's really good. The canon thing.
Yeah, I watched that
They talk
recently.
about like the Chuck Norris movies and all that stuff and how they made money, and it's pretty crazy.
Oh yeah, I guess they basically built that empire, if you can call it that, off those breakdancing movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Made
Oh,
so much money.
we ordered some movies from Kino's big fall sale this weekend. Do you remember a movie, speaking of breakdancing movies, it was called Delivery Boys?
No, never saw that.
Okay.
I wasn't a
It
breakdancing fan. Like, I
okay.
never went into the like I in high school, I remember it being popular
Yeah.
when it was coming out, and there was people that would have like the popping competitions, you know, and then they'd call you out by moving their arms and pointing their finger, and then some guy
Right.
would start dancing and moonwalking and shit and
Yep.
spinning on the ground, and it was like, yeah, I remember it, but I wasn't like I wasn't ca captivated by the. I've never been into the dance and music scene and on film,
Right.
for
Th
some
this
reason. Like I can't get into musicals and I can't get into to stuff. I mean, like I'll go to I like things like I'll go see a play on Dracula, but
Right.
I'm not real big on like Hamilton or you know things like
Right.
that. I don't. I just where Barb loves that shit, and like I just don't. But I'll go see it. Like I'm not gonna say no, I don't want to go. I'll go experience it, and I just not into the the Dracula one I was always into because I've always been fascinated with Dracula.
Oh, what was the plot? I'm trying to remember. This is one of those that, like, we saw on cable when we were on a trip, and then you were forever chasing that movie because you're like, you're in a hotel with like a bunch of teenagers, and you watch it, and you're like, oh, this is really stupid or really wild or really vulgar or whatever. And it was a weird movie, and you just never saw it again. But all I remember about it is we saw it on our trip to Washington, D.C. So I was in like sixth grade. And it was a bunch of break dancers, and they worked for like, I think it was a pizza place. And the people who are going to break dance against them don't want them to show up at the competition the next day. So while they're out on their deliveries, they, and it's all dick jokes,
But
they
at the
told.
time, it's funny. Yeah, it's like,
Yeah,
this is funny as shit.
and I ordered it because it was $5 and I wanted to watch it again. But I just remember stuff like there's basically like a glory hole and like a dog biting somebody's dick. There's one where somehow they get convinced to be one of those still life statues and they have to urinate, so the woman has to like have him piss in a martini glass, and of course somebody drinks the martini. And it's just all these really off the wall things of them trying to keep them from going to the breakdancing competition. And it's just raunchy dick jokes. And I remember really liking it as a sixth grader.
Yeah,
And it was so cheap for $5. And I was like, I have been looking for this movie since like 1986, so I'm sure it's gonna be horrible. And my wife's gonna be, what is this piece of shit? But I don't know. I really want to see it. I'm excited.
I've
And I
been watching some crap on like, 'cause on Amazon they have a lot of those C films and you know VHS
Yeah.
movie things that were never released in theater,
Right.
and I when I am in a certain mood, I'll just sit there and watch that kind of stuff.
Oh, me too. Yeah,
Yeah.
I love those really bad Roger Corman movies.
Yeah.
Like Chopping Mall. We watched that one pretty
That one's
recently.
good. Yeah, I
Yeah.
never saw, I never experienced that one
Yeah.
until about like 10 years ago. And we
I
used to
love
have
the
on DC Noise. It was like I think we watched it on that. Like it
Okay.
when Netflix was still the only streamer, and it was like, oh, Chopping Mall's on. We should choose that.
Yeah, that was
Or it might have
hilarious.
been on this show. It might have been me and Chris. I don't remember. It was on one of my podcasts. We talked about
And like the Sorority House and Massacre, Slumber Party Massacre, those are good.
yeah, I've seen
I
all
like those
those.
movies. Yeah. I need to get the, is it Slumber Party Massacre 2 or it's the drill and the that's the, like the guitar?
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to get that one. That was a classic. So, yeah, I Mike, how do you keep straight which books you've read for which shows? Because I'm at the point now, I was going trying to pull books yesterday, and I ended up, instead of doing what I was going to do, I grabbed one I had read recently and two that were in the to read stack. But I pulled out Crow of the Bear Clan and I was like, have I read this on a show? I feel like I had.
The
And then,
Crow?
yeah, it was like, it was, I think it was Crow of the Bear Clan. It was like a little teddy bear looking dude, but it was basically kind of, during the black and white explosion, and it was
I
by
don't remember
Blackstone.
you talking about this one.
It could have been on, well, it could have been on, like, if I had Kirk show up on 20th
Oh,
Century Boys or something
or
too.
it could have been this show, and I just don't
Yeah.
remember it because you and Rob did it, or you
That's
and,
true.
yeah.
But between the two shows, I felt like I had done that one, and then I grabbed another book and I was like, have I talked about this one? But I'm wondering if, and I looked and I was like, no, I have not talked about one of the books I'm going to talk about today, but I can't, I'm getting old, man. I can't keep it straight anymore. I was like, did I read this or did I just mention it to somebody?
Yeah,
You know?
I sort of know, but I keep like a just a stupid notepad of
Okay.
not on notepad.exe, you know, the word thing.
Yep.
I just of all the books I read every week, so I can
Okay.
actually search it, but it only goes back to let's see, when did I start this? I don't
But
even
will
know what
that, but do
year.
you make a notation if you did it on one of the shows?
I started around 2012,
Okay. Well, that's a good
but
long time.
and I the shows I started around 20, I don't know. It was
Yeah.
fairly recent. I keep track of the movies and the stuff we watched. Like yesterday, we went to go see Expendables, and
How was it?
I loved it. It
Okay,
was
I like those movies.
awesome. Well, I like those movies. They're like, I know what I'm getting when I go into them,
Right.
but I got like action from the beginning all the way to the end, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
And
I want to see that
I
one.
like Statham and, you
Yeah.
know, the banter between him and Stallone and all the other, like seeing Dolph Lundgren in there, the
I
crazy
love
old
Dolph.
guy. Yeah.
He's great in those movies.
Oh yeah, and he's such a great, he was in the first early movies, he was sort of the bad guy.
Yeah, he
He's the one
turned
that
on him in the
betrayed. He
first one.
turned on him,
Yeah.
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 And then he came back. Well, we thought that he killed, like Stallone killed him later on,
Right.
and he wasn't dead, and like drove a knife through his heart and shit. I don't. Somehow he comes back from the dead like Frankenstein.
He was so mean to Jet Li in that first one.
Oh, he was.
Yeah.
I
He's
was
such a.
hoping he would show up in this one,
Yeah.
and I'm always looking out for surprises to see. Oh, I know who that is, and.
Right.
You know, Von Dom comes in later and
Yep.
he's a bad guy, and
Chuck Norris will show up for like 2 minutes.
Antonio Banderas.
Yep. Yeah, he was hilarious in the third one.
I think this movie has the son of him
Oh,
because
okay.
he wasn't in it, but it had a guy, a young kid with the personality exactly of Antonio Banderas, because you know how he really wanted to be on the team and they didn't
Right.
want to take him in, and yeah, it was a fun movie. I highly recommend it. Like, I know it flopped, like it was a horrible flop.
Oh man.
It opened up last week to like 13 million or something. I don't know. It was
Yeah.
like really bad, but it was highly entertaining.
I
It was
still
really
don't
good.
think people are going back to the movies the way they had been. I
No,
still don't think we're there yet.
but it's, you have all these uncanny phenomenons like Super Mario Brothers and Barbie. They like
Barbie was huge,
they
yeah.
made billions. I mean, we're not talking about we're talking a shit ton of money. And then Oppenheimer, you know, like
Yeah.
we're having successes in areas that you don't think you think there'd be like some success, but not these billion-dollar franchises.
Right.
And it's like the movies that you think might have some legs and do stuff, they're not. Blue Beetle seems to have some legs because it's still playing.
It did better than I thought it would. I liked it a lot.
Well, it has. It might not be making like a lot of money up front,
Right.
but it might be. At least it's keeping audiences going, you know.
Right.
So.
I think that one we saw a couple of weeks ago must have been a disappointment because at least at our local theater, they've already got it down to just a couple of shows and it's only like 3 weeks old. And that's the newest Agatha Christie. Is it
Oh yeah, we
Death in
saw
Venice?
that.
I liked it a lot too.
I liked it, but like I like all those movies. I think I've seen them all except for the Orient Express.
That one's good.
Because but I've seen them all, but their pace so goddamn slow. Like it's just you have to be in the mood to go along with this mystery. And the formula is very similar, right? Like it's a Scooby-Doo mystery and everybody's a suspect. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's probably where they got it from, you know, is because we read one for book club and it was straight up a murder she wrote, literally to the point where, you know, every episode Jessica would say, well, I think it's this person, and then they get exonerated, but by the end of the episode they come back after they accused everybody else, it was the person she accused at first. That's literally what this one Agatha Christie we read was, and I was like, well, there you go. That's where they built an entire franchise off of that kind of a twist, where it was the people you thought it was to begin with, you know. But we
It
what
was
was the other thing?
an interesting there was one on the Africa or South America. It had Gal Gadot in it,
Oh,
the
Death on the
Death
Nile.
on the Nile, So is that the ones they had? Death on the Nile, Murder on Orient Express, and this one?
The new ones, yep. I was gonna say we just finished The Alienist. Did you ever watch that one?
No.
Yeah, it's pretty good if you like that Gotham and Gaslight kind of thing, where it's like a late 1800s in New York, like Jack the Ripper kind of vibe. And one the first season was a serial killer, and the second season was a woman who was kidnapping and killing babies. It was a good show. It had a Dakota Fanning in it, and that really freaked me out because she's like 30 now, and in my head she's still like the 10-year-old from War of the Worlds. So, and they have her in like a sex scene, and I was like, oh, gross. She's like 10, and then they're like, no, she's like 30. I was like, oh, I still don't like it.
What
I guess that's a me problem.
was this called?
The
Alien
Alienist?
Alienist?
Yeah, we
Oh,
watched it
that was
on.
a Okay, that was a TV show that was on TNT.
Yeah, it's on
Okay,
Max now. And that's why we missed it originally, was because it was on TNT and we didn't have cable. And for a long time, the TBS TNT shows weren't streaming anywhere. But now that HBO Max is, or Max or whatever,
Yeah,
has picked
they've
up that
added a
IP.
lot of stuff ever since the merger. Like, they
So
have
they carried
Discovery on
up.
there now too, or something. I can't remember. They have a lot of stuff.
Well, just like, you know, if you liked a USA show like Psych or something or Monk, there was nowhere it was streaming before. But now that there's Peacock, all that stuff from USA is streaming now too. So a lot of those kind of shows that I used to watch when I had cable, you can watch again easy if you don't have cable. So
We're watching the final season of Reservation Dogs. We really like that show.
I'd
Oh,
heard
it's
it was
so good.
good. How many
It's
seasons is it?
amazing. It's four.
Okay, that's not bad.
We have two left. I think two episodes left.
Right. I'll have to check that one out. That was on my list of ones I needed to see. My problem is we only have maybe a couple of hours in a night, and not every night do we have a couple hours. So we might only get in 1 hour of TV a day. So
That's same here.
it takes us a while to get
And
through a
then we watch
series.
sports some of the time, so it takes Monday night out and Sunday night out, and
Oh yeah, you do football and baseball,
we
right?
do football. Well, baseball we don't really watch. We until the World Series
Yeah,
we
that's what I mean,
watch,
like
and the
playoffs.
playoffs. Same with basketball, but we've been watching a lot of Colorado Colorado football that Dion's there now. Because it's so Hollywood now over there. It's just kind of an interesting thing to watch.
Yeah,
But
I'm one of those lame fans who only watches when like one of the Atlanta teams or one of the Denver teams is in the playoffs. And other than that, I don't pay any attention.
yeah, we were very happy that Denver won, and
Yeah, we
we
watched the
watched all
Nuggets
we watched
games.
all yeah, we watched all of that journey, so.
Because yeah, when we lived in Denver, we actually not only watched the Nuggets, we would try to go at least a couple of times a year.
What led you to leave Denver? What was as jobs or was it?
A mixture of the job, and we were about to start building a family, and there was one Christmas where I drove in like over a foot of unplowed snow, and I just got pissed off. I was like,
Yeah.
Because, like, if you're, like, outside of Denver, like, in, I'm trying to think of what the big suburb is, Aurora. So, like, if you're in Aurora, the streets would be glorious and clean. The minute you hit downtown Denver, which is where I was always working, it was hit or miss whether they'd have even plowed. And I remember a Christmas day going to Blockbuster in a foot plus of snow, and I'm like, what am I doing? I need to get out of here.
Yeah.
And
It kind of makes sense as you get older too. Like
yeah.
it get when you're young, you don't care. Like you're
No.
just gonna do it, and then you realize, oh shit, I slipped this way and I slipped that way, and there's accidents, and
Well,
then
and
you
you know your
don't.
drive would be an hour to drive 5 miles.
Yeah.
And I got over it. I got tired of it. And
Okay.
then we tried Knoxville, and Kristen wasn't happy there because the job wasn't great. And so that's how we ended up back in Davenport, which is where she's from. Because
Oh, okay.
I came from Atlanta to Denver, met her, then we tried Knoxville, didn't work out, and then we ended up back in her home, which is Iowa. So
How long were you in Knoxville?
not very long, year and a half. Like, we didn't even finish the lease on the second place we were
Wow,
at.
so you knew immediately. You knew fairly early on that you didn't like it.
I think we liked lots about it. The job was not good, and
Oh, yeah.
it was one of those where she wasn't meshing well with I think
Co-workers.
the work style. So folks in the South work different than folks anywhere else, I'm
Yeah.
sure. Just like I'm sure people where I'm at now, Midwest, have a different vibe than a lot of other places
Well,
too.
what is it like? Because I don't know.
So,
All I know is I've only been to Colorado and New Mexico, so I
well,
don't know.
I always thought we were very chit chatty and in the South, and maybe not quite as gung ho
Yeah.
on getting stuff done. And there's just kind of like you'll get it done when you get it done kind of vibe. And
Yeah.
I don't think Kristen works that way.
Oh yeah, she has a task and she wants to complete
Yep.
it and move on to the next.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think she's more motivated on getting like things done
Well, that's the
timely.
way it is here in
Yeah.
New Mexico and Colorado, I think.
Man, well, I tell you, when I get older, I want to get out of this cold. I was looking at New Mexico. That may be where I go next.
That would be awesome if me,
Yeah.
you, and Rob end up there.
Well, that's what we
That
should
would be
do.
cool because Rob has talked about it.
Oh, really? Well, he's
Yeah,
in a
he's
really
talked
cold
about it.
place, man.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that would be cool.
Yeah. We should. Well, at least do a visit, get everybody
Yeah.
together. Because he doesn't do the cons with y'all either, does he?
We've
Or
been
does he?
trying to get him to go to Heroes,
Okay.
and the reason that has not panned out for him because he's like, how do I get away on Father's Day? It's
Same.
always on Father's Day.
Yeah, I have that
And
issue
I'm
too.
like, well, the way Bill does it is he says, well, you want to reward me on Father's Day, let me go do something I love, right? And
Heroes
then,
is the Carolina
but then
one.
you play that game, well, don't you love us as much as you love
Right.
the
Is Heroes the Carolina one?
Yeah.
Okay, what's the big one that's like in, is it Baltimore? That is it?
Baltimore is like a lot like Heroes. We go
Okay.
there
I've heard like good
occasionally.
stuff
We
about it.
were going there a lot,
Okay.
and we used to go to Baltimore and Heroes like all the time. Then COVID hit,
Right.
and then we sort of stopped early going to Baltimore. I was con crazy there for a while. I would go to like weekend to weekend to weekend. I'd go to like Heroes and then go to Albuquerque and then Denver and then I would go to Baltimore. So it'd be like now it's like I just do Heroes.
So is the appeal the getting to hang out with friends? Is the and shopping? I mean, what do
Well,
you do when you go to one?
the appeal is mostly friends. You know,
Yeah, that's what I
that's the
figured.
one where I can hook up with like the most friends, and I don't have too many friends that are
Okay.
West Coast or
Right.
in this area.
Right.
All my friends are out east for the most part, and that's a good place to hook up and hang
Okay.
out, and plus it's the best in my opinion, at least going to what I've seen, Comic Con, like true
Right.
Comic Con, not Hollywood at all. It's just
Right.
comics. That's it.
Yeah,
So.
that was one of those things I think that I don't know any of the appeal that would be to go to like San Diego or something. Like, I
Well,
don't.
San Diego's one of those ones. Well, I don't know what it is now, ever since the strike and
Yeah.
like them before the strike, studios were pulling out.
Hmm.
But I don't know like what that con's going to be,
Right.
but it's worth seeing because it's just like an explosion of stuff. Like,
Right.
in your lifetime, it's definitely worth going. But at the same time, as you get older, you become overwhelmed. Like, it's just too much.
That's
And
where
it's like,
I'm
well,
at. I don't love
how do I get?
crowds.
Yeah, I was doing it in 2006 and 2007, so I had all this energy, and now it's like I'd rather go at my own pace
Yeah.
and determine what I'm gonna do and not have to worry about not being able to do it because there's too many people.
Yeah.
So it's changed.
Do
I
you
don't know if it
shop much when you're at these?
at Heroes, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I do a lot, and in Baltimore, I usually buy easily a grand worth of stuff.
How do you get it home? Do you ship it or do you
Oh, I
take it
put
on
it
the
in my
plane?
luggage, and the
Okay.
expensive stuff, I put it on my backpack and,
Okay.
on the plane.
Hey, that's one of
The
those things
all the dollar books and stuff I cram into my luggage. I like wrap it as good
Right.
as I can and then put it in the luggage. There's one time I bought so much stuff I had to ship it, and that was expensive. And
That's
I'm
what I
like,
wondered, yeah.
that doesn't make any sense because I bought all these dollar books and then I ended up paying like $10 for each one of those books because of all the shipping. So it's
Oh,
like,
that sucks.
yeah, so.
Because a lot of times, like if I go to a place where I know we've got a good comic book store we're going to, like we did McKay's in Nashville. I was like, we're going to Nashville. There's going to be comic book stores. There's going to be McKay's. I straight up just bring a comic book box in the van with me because I figure I'm going to, between books and trades and comics, I'm going to fill it up, which a lot of times I overfill. But I was like, yeah, we don't do planes with the family, so I was like, I wasn't even sure how one even like brings that stuff home.
Yeah, and it's expensive, so you have to go like for like you can get some good deals at
Yeah.
Heroes, but in my case, regardless of what I get, I'm losing a ton of money. So
Yeah.
I'm going there for friends, really. That's telling you what. Like, I'm not going there totally for comics or creators because money-wise I'd be out. And it
Right.
used to be awesome to get commissions when commissions were like $30 a pop. Now that they're like 300, it's like
Ew.
I don't want to get a sketch anymore.
Yeah, I'd be the same way. I
Yeah.
kept thinking at some point I wanted to, there was a, I think Dan Parent or I can't think of the guy's name, the guy who was doing Archie. Yeah.
Peepoy?
No, the other one. Like
Dan
fu
McC
Was there like a
guy.
Franco or something? They
Franco
did.
and Balthazar.
No.
They do
There was a
DC
book that
stuff.
they did. Dan Parent did a book with them when they originally did the relaunch of Archie, where basically they're like, we don't want the old style of Archie anymore. We're just doing like the Mark Waid modern stuff. And him.
Oh, Franco Francavilla.
Yeah, I. Okay. So when they were. When they.
Afterlife with Archie.
Yeah, so I had always wanted to get like a Jonah Hex sketch
Oh,
by
he's perfect for that because
one of those guys.
he did like Lone Ranger and
Yeah.
he did a lot of pulp.
Yeah, and that's one of the two in my head at some point on my wish list. I'd like a Jonah sketch from both of those two guys. So.
I have one commission. I can't remember who it is. It might be Zorro, but from Franco Francavilla.
Nice.
But I used to do that a lot when things were affordable.
Yeah.
And then it's just like it became like, wait, like Kirk's still in that ball game. Like
Yeah.
Kirk plays in that well. Whereas I'd rather, Kirk's big into signatures and he's big into creators, and I'm more into like, I just want to hang out with Kirk.
Yeah.
I
Yeah,
see
I
what
got
he's
you.
doing. Yeah, I just I like creators and all that, but I don't like. I like their work.
You know, the only person I think I'd like to see, and it'd be because I'd like to see her actually draw, is Joelle Jones, and it's just because I saw one of those YouTube in the gutters she did where it showed her art process and just the way she does like the blood splatter and everything. I just really like her artwork to begin with, and I just think the process video she did was fascinating. So like
Yeah,
the
I have a Joelle Jones commission too. So like
nice.
I met her at Heroes. I can't remember if I got a Zorro from her too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'd want Lady Killer because I literally would want to watch her do it so I could see her do the blood splatter thing because I think it's
Yeah.
just so cool. I love that book. I keep hoping there'll be another one. She's too busy at DC to probably do creator stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, boss, you want to do a book?
Yeah, go ahead.
All
Go
right.
ahead. You were starting, and you were talking about the one book that you thought you had
Oh
already
yeah.
covered,
I'll do
and
that one first. That because
yeah.
that was a wild one. I grabbed three because I couldn't remember. I know typically we do two if there's three of us. So I was like, do we do three of them if there's two of us? So I just figured time wise, I figure where we're at, but I went ahead and
Yeah.
read three. So the first one is one of those that it was a repurchase for me, and that's in that Teen Titans Spotlight stack I was telling you about, and it's number seven, and this is one with the spotlight on Hawk. And
Oh, nice.
I don't know if I had read any Hawk stories other than this is post-crisis because this is 87. So I don't know if I'd read any Hawk stories other than, when Don gets killed in Crisis.
Yeah,
Before this, because
that
there.
was kind of my first exposure to both of them, I think, was
Crisis.
Crisis. Yeah.
Yeah, so this is the first one I remember reading, and I had it when I was, a tweenager or whatever, because let's see, 87, I've been like 13. But I had totally forgotten it. So I picked this up the other day out of the dollar box, and I was like, oh, I'll grab these because I used to like these. And I have found this series so far of the ones I've read that's been kind of hit and miss, but that's makes sense. It's almost like an anthology because they've got a rotating cast, like one issue will be Cyborg and one issue will be Changeling, and God, it's still weird to me that everybody calls him Beast Boy. I say Changeling to my kids, they don't know who I'm talking about. They're like, who's Changeling? It's like freaking Beast Boy.
I think I knew him as Changeling before I knew him as Beast Boy.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
All right, so we're at the Stapleton Airport in Denver. Hawk is getting off a plane and he's basically dressed in his normal day-to-day civilian gear. And the guy comes up to him and he says, excuse me, sir, would you sign a petition protesting nuclear power? He's like, get out of my face or I'm gonna give you a fat lip. I don't have time for a bunch of wimpy solar powered crunchy granola peaceniks. I like nuclear power. And that reminded me like Hawk was always very conservative. If you're the idea was he was like the war hawks to the peace loving dove. And so he was
Yeah.
always like kind of conservative
Well, they were
comparatively.
written completely opposite. Like
Right.
I went back and read the Ditko stuff, and it's dramatic, man. It's
I
really.
need to read that. My wife bought me the trade of that a few years ago and I haven't read
Yeah.
it.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting because they're like light and day.
Nice.
Whereas when the female comes, they're a little more compatible.
Yeah, that's during the Kessel Liefeld stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've read some of those. I like those.
Oh, I liked them a lot. That was like when Hawk and Dove was like, oh, this is. I was real attracted to Liefeld's art
Right.
early on. I was like, this is something different. I like it.
Oh, just like I love, I don't know if that it gets a lot of credit, but I love that Larson run on Doom Patrol too.
Oh yeah, that's good too.
Yeah. But he punches out the guy who is trying to be pro-nuclear power, and you see this blonde woman who's going to show up later. They have him at the guard office in the airport, and he's in his outfit now. He's like, "Well, are you satisfied?" He's like, "Yeah, you're. I get that you're part of the Teen Titans, but that doesn't mean you can just be punching people in the middle of an airport." He goes, "Bite my Twinkie. You don't love those crunchy granola types any more than me."
I don't know if that's what does that mean, bite my Twinkie. I wouldn't want
I,
anybody to bite my Twinkie.
that's what I'm saying. I'm sure it's like basically like the Comics Code Authority version of Blow Me,
Yeah.
but And then it has the title page. It's called Hawk, A Bug in the System. It's Mike Baron and Jackson Geiss. And it's a good looking book. So the cops basically run him out of town to this nuclear conference. I mean, not to this nuclear conference, to this terrorist conference that he's there to attend. So he's in the meeting room, and it's a conference, but it's only like six people. I'm like, what kind of conference is this? And why in the world would they invite Hawk to it? And it turns out Hawk invited himself. He wasn't even supposed to be there. So it's more like there was this meeting of six people talking about how to deal with with terrorists, and he just shows up. And so he's like, this is what we need to do about terrorism. We need to squash him down. No Miranda rights, no ifs, no ands or buts. That's the only thing that works. And he says, it's the thing that works for the Israelis. And the guy says to him, there's different policies from the Israeli position to the clandestine negotiations, such as the French practice. And he says, those frogs are a bunch of wimps and losers. And you guys don't thrill me either. I'm taking a break. So he's like just being super antagonistic to this thing he like basically busted into. And then it shows him out in the hills of Denver. There's a helicopter that flies by and says, attention, Kellogg Institute. That's where this meeting is. Please assemble all personnel in the yard. The National Guard has declared an emergency. They get down there and he's like, what's going on? And it turns out the nuclear plant has been taken over by some terrorists. So Hawk says, well, these guys are wimps and losers. If you want something done, you've got to do it right yourself. And it shows him like in full gear. He's got this kind of like batwing kind of glider thing that has like a hawk face on the front of it. He gets in that and he flies down to the nuclear power plant. He sees a guard that's passed out. He's like, what is this? Looks like an insect bite. And he goes, ow! And he gets stung by a bee. And he goes in, there's more bugs everywhere. He says, more bug bites? What the heck? They should have called Orkin. Ah! And there's like bugs just flying everywhere, and he's freaking out. There's somebody coming around the corner. He grabs them and flips them, and it's the lady who was in the very first panel with the hippie he beat up. He goes, you stupid broad, what are you doing here? He's so rude, man.
Yeah, he's
He's the
bad.
worst. And she's like, we were protesting, and then terrorists took over. And he's like, well, stay out of the way. Ow, these damn bugs. How do they keep getting in? And he just keeps getting stung over and over by bugs. So she's like, well, I use Cutter. And which I'm guessing I'd never heard of Cutter, but the way they're talking about it, it's just like apparently some kind of spray you would put on to keep from getting stung. And he goes, huh, I'm surprised an insect repellent would be used by a woman such as yourself, who's a holistic earther. And she goes, look out, there's a wasp. Ag, I felt him. He just keeps getting stung over and over again.
So like that stuff might be like off, you know, like
Yeah. Oh,
he's
yeah,
off.
like off or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or what's the stuff they used to
That's funny
sell?
though that he's the one getting bit.
I know he's the only one because she, whatever she used to keep him from stinging her, and he just keeps getting stung over and over. Like in this picture, he gets stung, looks like in the face and in the arm. She goes, oh my, look at all those bugs. And he's like, they're streaming through the door. Hold on, I'm going to ventilate this guy's sternum. And it's like this huge, like praying mantis looking thing. And he's treating it like it's a human. This, I love Jackson Geiss, but the way this is narrated is so weird with like, it almost looks like it sometimes when you read a Dynamite comic, they're drawn overseas and written in the US and the pictures don't always match the bubbles perfectly. And it's almost the kind of vibe you're getting here. Like Jackson Geiss and Mike Baron weren't communicating really well because it just, there's no way you could look at this bug thing that Jackson Geiss has drawn and think it's a human. You know what I mean? It looks way too weird. But so he goes, lie down on the floor. I'm like, this thing's an arachnid. It can't lie down on the floor. It's basically already like on all fours. And she goes, what is it? He says, you hippie dingbat, you don't get to ask anything. And he slaps her with a gun. Oh, he's so aggressive. I know. He says, what's the matter? A frog got your throat? It's a bug. So I don't know what he expects it to say, but it does end up being able to talk. So basically, the bug's like, we want no more nuclear power. no more pesticides. We need to protect the rainforest from acid rain. And the lady's like, right on. What do you call yourself? And he goes, shut up. I am Arachnid. Okay, Arachnid, get on the floor. And once again, I was like, how can he get on the floor? He's already like on all of his limbs, unless he wants him to lay flat, I guess. But so they get in kind of a fight, and every time he punches them, bugs fly off. So it turns out this giant arachnid thing is actually created by a bunch of bugs kind of swarming together. Wasn't there like a villain named Swarm that kind of did that too?
Marvel, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So it's kind of the same idea. So, and Mike Baron's just a super clever writer. So, like, the woman goes, the Green Brain, and he's like, what is that? And she's like, the Green Brain by Frank Herbert. It's the guy who wrote Dune. And he's like, lady, I don't care about your stupid science fiction stuff. I don't want to hear about stuff from some ecology nut. And she's like, don't you see it? It's not human. And then he finally goes, like, yeah, I can see that. And it turns out it's made up of termites, and the termites are termites that can eat through plastic. They can eat through concrete. He says they're Amazonian termites that have been brought there so that they can destroy this giant nuclear power plant. And he can't figure out what he's going to do to get rid of the bugs. But luckily, right in the middle of the nuclear power plant, there happens to be an organ, like a... And not like a pipe organ, but just like a organ that you would use in, like, I don't know, like Sly and the Family Stone or something. And he's like, plug that organ into the PA. And he's like, she's like, what are you going to do? Fiddle while Denver burns? He's like, no, but bugs don't like this frequency of certain notes. So if I play that, maybe it'll like get rid of him. So it shows him hit one note and it goes, eek! And the one note is so loud, it like looks like it's going to make a hawk's head explode as well. It has him like clasping his brain as he's holding the key down, but it does drive all the bugs away. And he's like, it worked. We did it. So they get outside the nuclear facility. He's like, be cool, officer. I'm the Hawk of the Teen Titans. I'll just save your hash. Hands in the air, mister. You too, lady. And he has to explain to the officer that it was a bunch of bugs that did it. And the guy's like, yeah, right. You've been sniffing something. But then they go in and they say, well, we did find like millions of dead bugs, so maybe you weren't lying. And he basically drives her back out. He's like, you weren't such a bad chick after all. And he goes back to the terrorist conference and he says that what we need to be doing is looking into killing off all the bugs on the planet. We need to be looking into high frequency transmitters, insecticides, wholesale defoliation if necessary. So he wants to kill all the trees and plants so he can kill all the bugs. But if that doesn't work, we can negotiate. And later,
and usually bug killers toxic to humans too if you're not careful.
Yeah,
I mean, you can't just go spray shit.
He doesn't care. This is Hawk, yeah. Man. He's like, you just gotta kill all these bugs. They're the real terrorists.
Yeah, and then you die of cancer 10 years later.
Right. And then you turn into what was the character he was in like Armageddon, the Monarch or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like ruling on a bug-free plant-free planet. But he's back on that cliff again where we saw him relaxing earlier, and Arachnid reforms. It says, you've thwarted our plan, but we would like you to meet our queen. He's like, okay, this place is full of stuff shirts anywhere, and it has him flying off to meet the queen of the Arachnids in the Amazon. So, weird little issue, but it's got that kind of like Mike Baron kind of humor that I don't know that I appreciate it as a kid, but I find it hilarious as an adult.
Yeah, if you're reading it at the time, it probably is not as funny, but now it's like, this is laugh out loud hilarious. Yeah,
it's like borderline ridiculous, but yeah. I don't know. I really enjoyed it.
It's interesting to know what he was thinking when he wrote it. Like, am I going over the top? And if he's laughing at himself, like, this is pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. Well, some of his stuff, I think... Is it not Nexus? Because he does like stuff like Capital Punishment.
Oh, Badger.
Badger, yeah. Like there's some stuff where you know that Badger is not racist because he's very like into Asian culture and he has Asian partner and all these things. But then he'll say some of the most racist stuff.
Things ever, yeah.
Yeah, so I think Mike Barron was a little bit of a button pusher, you know, when he was
Sure,
younger.
sure.
So,
And he's still kind of like he's on the other end of the spectrum than we
right.
are in
Yeah,
terms of where he is. But
but it makes a good read, you know.
sure. And I could see him just by knowing his political and how he sees things, I could see him being like Hawk,
Oh, yeah.
like frustrated with let's just spray the bugs. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like I could see him like that. Like I
Well,
don't
I
care
just
about
love
the
that he's like,
environment and all this green stuff, and I just want to just go do it, get the
yeah,
problem
let's just
solved.
have all concrete and no greenery at all if that's what it takes. I'm like, that's
Yeah.
crazy. But yeah, it was a fun little book.
Yeah, cool. Well, mine is also DC. It's Adventure Comics number 400. So it was my first exposure to some of Supergirl's villains. Even though I've read a lot of Supergirl, I didn't know she had a kind of like a go-to villain called the Black Flame. I keep wanting to call her the Black Rose, but it's the Black Flame. This is called The Return of the Black Flame. It's written by Mike Sekowski, and the art is by Mike Sekowski. So he did both. I think that's kind of unusual in
Yeah.
this time. This
That cover's
1970.
nice looking.
Yeah, and she has Supergirl. Well, this kind of explains, like, you're like, why is Supergirl's costume constantly changing? Like,
Right.
during this time, like, she has so many outfits. This kind of explains it. She's talking about like having to sew her own costumes, and they're not impenetrable like Superman's, and she's trying to figure out how to make them so they'll last, and she's sewing this like a regular person sews a costume. And then she gets there's like a broadcast over the TV, and the guy says, "Only you can read this, Supergirl." And there's like this blurry thing that's like flickering on the screen, and it's like phone 934. I wonder whose phone number this is right now.
Right.
9-934-2076. Home address is 301 Lakeview Drive, Easternville, Illinois.
Easternville
So,
gave everything.
yeah, gave everything, which is unusual. It now you won't see it. You'll see like some make-believe number or
Five five
whatever.
five, yeah.
Yeah. So she dials this number, and it sounds like there's a female on the other end of the phone who's asking for help, and she says, "I need you to meet me at this coordinates. We can't talk over the phone because somebody's listening." And so she flies off from her location and to try to help this girl, and you get introduced to three villains. They're pretty weird looking villains. One is Toy Master, who looks like the Toy Man, but he's not the Toy Man. He's just this big old guy that makes toys and uses them against superheroes. There's this guy called L. Finn, and he's a leprechaun, and he does magic. And then the Inventor. So the Inventor is the one that invented this technology to do this. Only Supergirl could see it. And the Black Flame had broken these guys out of the Phantom Zone. Very different from the Superman comics now, because usually you see Kryptonian villains in the Phantom Zone or things that are related to Kryptonian. Well, I guess back in this day, they would just throw anybody into the Phantom Zone. So Black Flame breaks these three guys out and then tells the rest of the people in prison, there's like hundreds of people that are in this Phantom phase, "I'll come get you later after we defeat Supergirl." And she's been imprisoned in Kandor by Supergirl in a previous issue, and she sort of developed a stun gun and broke her way out, and then went to the Phantom Zone, freed these three dudes, and said, "Let's take down Supergirl." And it looks really dire at the time. You know, she gets to the house, a maid answers the door, and then she tries to rope her, and she sees it in the mirror that she's trying to get roped, and you're like, "Well, what can a rope do to Supergirl?" Well, that rope is laced with kryptonite,
Of
so
course.
yeah, of course it takes her out. She starts to fall down, but the maid falls because she swiped at her, and she sees it's a robotic toy kind of thing. And they put her. Streaky tries to save her, but then there's the falls to the kryptonite. I don't even know how Streaky got there. It's such a weird part of the story. He gets there and then just passes out because of the kryptonite. And they decide to have fun. Like, why not have fun? We got Supergirl on death's door. Let's just put her up in a bowling alley and make her one of the pins. And then they all take turns throwing bowling balls at her. It's pretty funny. Sorry. I can't laugh or I'll start coughing.
I
But
remember one winter I was that way. Like, if I even thought about laughing, I'd start coughing.
yeah. So, but this is funny. They throw bowling balls and they knock her out a bunch of times and they say three strikes and you're dead. So they're waiting to get the third strike and they get down to that. And she manages to get strength on each throw because it's starting to knock the kryptonite dust that's on the rope loose. So she's able to, on the third one, when the ball's getting ready to strike and let her be the death, she strikes back at all of the inventor, Toy Master, and L. Finn, and they're like, "Holy crap!" So she knocks them all out, but then L. Finn is a leprechaun, so he could do magic. He's like, "Brock Morn, Churlane, Mondo Dondo Zam," and Kryptonians, Superman's one of his weaknesses is magic, knocks her back down. And this Black Flame knows her with this gold kryptonite. Now she pulls out gold kryptonite, which makes her powerless, and puts her there. And they're gonna shoot this huge arrow at her. Now that she has no power, but she, before the arrow gets shot, she's able to take a contraption that she finds from Toy Master, and control a bunch of his toys to free her and cut the ropes that's binding her, and then she uses the toys to essentially help her and take down the three. And she throws the three of them back into the Phantom Zone to be shipped back to the Phantom Zone, and then takes Black Flame and puts her back in Kandor in prison. But it's a pretty good, it was a pretty fun story. Like, I had a blast reading it. And the artwork's really nice. These villains I've never seen before.
Yeah, I'd
And
never heard of him.
I would like to do some research after the fact to see if they were villains of somebody else, because when she did see like Elfin, Inventor, and Toy Master, she didn't know who they were. She know who Black Flame was, but she didn't know who these clowns were. So I'm wondering if there were Superman villains. And some of the ads that are in here is they have an ad for All Star Western, and it has Outlaw and El Diablo, Gil Kane art, Gray
Nice.
Morrow, Bob Karinger. There's Batman, Flash, Witching Hour, Unknown Soldier, featuring Enemy Ace, and then A Brave and the Bold. Batman and the House of Mystery, Adventure 400, which is this one. Wow, there wasn't a lot of comics at this time. Detective, well, at least during this week, because I think this is all the books this week. There was Binky, which I'll always look to try to find those when I do find them.
That's Kirk's favorite.
Yeah, Binky, Sugar and Spike, and Debbie's Dates. Date with Debbie,
Those are
Scooter, and the
so hard to
Three
find.
Musketeers. Yeah.
Those DC Archie
Yeah.
analogs. I almost never see them. I always try if I if they and when I do see them, they're usually priced more than I want to pay for a book.
Sure. And then there's an ad saying The Magic of Kirby, so it shows like Forever People on sale December 1st and New Gods December 22nd. And then
Gosh, he was
Mr.
already
Miracle
there that
coming
early,
soon.
huh?
Yeah, it's 1970. So yeah, it's got some cool ads in here for sure. And I didn't get a chance to read the letters page, but I'll probably go back and read it because I always find those interesting. There's a Daily Planet extra that says DC takes top honors at Comic Art Convention, And it
Nice.
mentions Carmen Infantino, Joe
Right.
Kubert, Dick Giordano, and Neil Adams. So that's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool comic.
Yeah, I am really into like the Superman family in general, and that's one of those eras where I don't know if it's just because I don't run into them very often or they haven't been reprinted, as I'm not as familiar with like 70s Supergirl. Other than, yeah, I have a handful and it feels like everyone I do, she does have a different uniform, but I
Yeah, I'm
like.
glad they explained this. I just thought she was very into fashion, but
Yeah.
I think it's that her costumes get destroyed and she just decides I'll make it this way now.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, cool. I'll stick with that. I'll stick with the. Is this still 70s? I think it's still 70s. Yeah, 77. We'll stick with that and I'll do a Superman.
Nice.
I got a Superman number 311. This is one of those classic Joe things where I accidentally read the wrong one a few weeks ago and I was like, the Flash was in the previous issue. I have that issue. And then I realized, like, when moving, I was moving stuff around. I actually had not read the Flash issue, and I had skipped ahead. So, 311 is going to be guest starring the Flash, and the issue is called "Plague of the Antibiotic Man." It's Marty Pascal with Kirk Swan and Frank Springer. So, really, really nice art in this one. So, you've got this guy who's kind of got a hunchback and a almost like rhino horn turned backwards shooting out of his head, hitting Superman with the Flash. So he's using the Flash like a baseball bat, and he hits Superman really hard. And then Superman hits him with a tree. Flash runs in to help. The guy tries to punch Superman. Superman ducks, and he hits Flash so hard that he knocks him into orbit. So it says, "Are you confused? Namek, the Flash, Central City, Plague. No, General Reader, you haven't missed anything. You've merely joined the Man of Steel in the middle of the strangest struggle of his career." So it's one of those where they dumped you in it, and I was like, "Did I miss issue 310 or whatever? Is that right? Yeah, 311. Ha! That's the name of the band. 310. You didn't miss 310. You probably did read it. It's just what they've done is they've done one of those that they. It's really common now where you get dropped into the action. I think it was less common back in the olden times that this comic would have been coming out. So they're going to explain to you how we get to Namek, how you get to Flash being knocked out into orbit, and what Superman doing, what he's doing. So we go to the train. You've got Steve Lombard hitting on Lois pretty hard. He's like, "So since you and Clark aren't seeing each other anymore, Lois, why don't you have dinner with me tonight once we hit the city?" "Sorry, Steve. Considering my going away present to you." "I said no, Steve. Besides, do you think it's proper to behave this way in front of your nephew?" And he's like sitting with his arm completely around her, and honestly, Lois doesn't seem to mind at all. But Steve's like,
He's
"Oh."
a very like sexual, like in today's world, he would be he would lose his job.
Oh, like really quick. Yeah,
Yeah.
most definitely. But he says, "Jamie doesn't care. He's cool. And it's a good thing he is, too. I had to drag him along to this stupid convention." So Clark is talking to a blonde woman in a different part of the train. And the little guy, Steve, goes, or not Steve, what was the name of the kid again? I already forgot. Jamie. Yeah, Jamie goes, "Look, Uncle Stevie, there's Clark Kent. You've met Clarky before, Jamie, and you weren't very impressed." "Oh, but that was before my teacher told me what a big shot he is." "Well, your teachers are wrong. Kent's a wimp. Watch this." So classic Lombard, he goes over to Clark and goes, "Hiya, Clarky." And Clark, of course, is drinking milk, which I find hilarious. He's on a train. Most people would probably have a cocktail or water. He's got a milk. He thwacks him in the back and he throws it all over the woman sitting across from him. Eek! "I knew Steve was coming, but I was trapped." And this is where, you know, they would always explain why he had to act like a wimp. "So I have an invulnerable back, so obviously I had to dump milk with this woman." goes, "Gosh, I'm terribly sorry. You clumsy ox, you ruined my suit." And she like slaps Clark with the purse. That's so unfair. Guy smacks him on the back. He spills his drink, and then Clark gets end up hitting the head with a purse. Not that it hurts him, but still. They get off the train. Lois says, "Hi, Clark. Greetings, everyone. Say, Jamie, what you got there?" And Jamie has a dog. This is my dog. I named him Ralphie. I found him hanging around, and I'm taking him into the hotel. I didn't think life worked that way. I would never take a kid with me on a trip, and there's a stray dog out there, and say, "Sure, take it into the hotel with us." Would you do that?
Not into a hotel.
I think that's weird. Like, this isn't even your kid, and you're just letting him take a dog home? Anyway, so back on to the top of the hotel, and apparently, Central City. Where is Central City supposed to be? Do you know?
I don't know position wise, no. I just
Like what its
it's
equivalent?
next to Keystone, I know
Right.
that.
Well, I don't know, but it must be someplace that gets snow, because the.
I imagine Midwest is where I
Yeah.
thought it was,
I thought it was Missouri, but I never
but
them
yeah,
as
I
a
don't
lot of
know.
like getting ski lifts or anything. But anyway, the hotel in Central City has got like a ski lift, like right out back, coming out of the back of the hotel. So there's a couple of guys on the ski lift, and all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, you see this guy in the classic thing outfit, trench coat and a top hat. Well, not a top hat, but fedora or whatever. So you got he does something, and all of a sudden the two guys on the ski lift have these spots appear all over them, and then they fall off the ski lift. So right at that moment, Clark hears them screaming help. Jamie's petting Ralphie, and he says, "That noise means trouble. Got to get away. So I'm gonna use my heat vision on Ralphie." So he burns the dog in the butt with his heat vision, so that the dog will run off. So that'll distract Lois, Steve, and Jamie so that he can go into the washroom and change. I know people always talk about Superman being a super dick, and I'm like, you know what? That is kind of a dick move. To like burn a dog on its butt? That's not cool, right? Anyway, so back at the ski lift, and he rescues the both of them, but there's more people that appear to be having issues. And who should it be but it's the Flash? So he goes, "Oh, yeah, Flash, I'm in Central City. I forgot that's where I was." Go inside, and they're checking out these two people, and they've got these blobs over. He's like, "I wonder what's going on with them. You stay in till the medics get here. I'm gonna go check out the roof." So he gets to the roof. The guy who is in the fedora and trench coat is running off, and you see Steve Lombard. He's talking to the woman from the train. "You gotta excuse Clarky for spilling his milk on you, Angelique. He was just born clumsy." And his Superman sword overhead, once again, he does a dick move. So far he's set a dog's butt on fire, and now he blows the milk that Steve. Why is everybody drinking milk? Blows the milk that Steve's drinking all over the blonde woman. She goes, "Let me guess. Kent was born clumsy, but you have to work at it, right?" And so he gets slapped in the head with a purse. And Soup says, "I shouldn't have done that, but after what that jock did to me, I just couldn't resist." So then we're at the hospital with Lois and Barry as the Flash, and they're checking out what these spots are on this guy, and who should show up but Iris Allen. And then you have one of the greatest confrontations I've ever seen in my life on the next page. And speaking of which, we got some fun ads. I like the house ads they used to do. This is fun. So it says February 2nd is the second month. Oh, no, my bad. February is the second month, and it features. And then it has the second issue of Jonah Hex. And it's got a picture of Jonah Hex on sale February 1st. The second appearance of Black Lightning. And it's Black Lightning number 2 on sale February 1st. And the second Scalp Hunter story in Weird War Tales on February 22nd.
Oh,
And
there you go. That's your favorite,
I know. I
right?
love me some weird westerns, man. And then the second set of the first two DC Dollar Comics. And it's the first Superman Family Dollar comic and the first House of Mystery Dollar comic. But yeah, I just love old house ads. And I don't have a single one of these issues, except I would have the Jonah Hex in a couple of trades. And then the next page, it always has the subscription that's like half a page. And since you were talking about what was out, so this is what was out in what year did I say this was? 77?
77, yeah.
Yeah. So in 77, you could get Action, Adventure, Superman, Superboy Legion, Shazam, Batman, Brave and the Bold, Green Lantern slash Green Arrow, The Flash, Secret Society of Supervillains, Wonder Woman, Ghost, House of Secrets, Unexpected, Isis, Witching Hour, Sergeant Rock, Our Fighting Force, Unknown Soldier, Weird War, Weird Western, Commandy. So Commandy's the only thing left of the Kirby stuff at this point. Kung Fu Fighter. And then 50 Cent Comics, it has Superman Family, which is what used to be Jimmy Olsen, I'm pretty sure, and Lois kind of blended together. Batman Family, Young Love, DC Special, Justice League, and DC Superstars. So in that 7 years, all those comedy books are gone. No more Binky, no more Sugar and Spice. That's all. Or is it Sugar and Spike? Sugar and Spike.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so it's gone. And then the other thing you've got an ad for, The Amazing World of DC Comics. Do you have any of those?
I think I might have one, but I don't have him. I have one,
Are
yeah.
they like fanzines? What were those?
Yeah, they're sort of like article fanzines, what's coming out, let's
Oh, okay.
interview,
So like Amazing
kinda.
Heroes used to be, but only DC?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so back to the story. Iris Allen, Miss Barry Allen, the wife of the Flash. So she's talking to Lois, and this is pretty good. She goes, "I wouldn't count on it. Rumor has it that the Flash is a married man, just as rumor has it that you're a special kind of superhero groupie." And Lois is like, "Well, I never. Just see that you don't. Maybe you've given up on the idea of Supes ever giving you a tumble, so you're leaving Metropolis with a bad case of sour grapes. But just remember one thing, Lois, Central City doesn't like home wreckers." I'm like, dang, she's just like trying to solve this case with Flash, and like Iris is really giving it to poor Lois. Anyway, so they see more of these people coming up with these big weird spots on their face. They're like, good God, more of those discolorations. And they just figure there's some kind of plague that's loose. So right at that moment on the hotel roof, Superman finds the guy in the trench coat and he knocks his hat off. And he says, "Are you the one doing all this?" And he says, "Good God, you're Namek of Krypton after all these years." So, and then Fighty McFight, he punches Superman through the roof, and it says, "We're back to the battle where we were at the start of the book." And meanwhile, Flash is just currently orbiting the planet. It just shows him floating by. So he's in a perfect circuitous orbit. And Namek telepathically tells his origin story to Superman. He was a Kryptonian scientist and he basically wanted to cure sickness. There was a creature on Krypton that was protected and illegal to kill, but he kills it anyway. And by killing it and doing experiments, he becomes a human version of, or a humanoid version of that monster, and it was called a Rondor. But basically, the idea he was going to be able to cure everybody, and it turns out it's just the opposite. Now he gives everybody diseases. So they're fighting, and Superman picks up a mountain that is spewing lava and throws it at him. That doesn't work, but it does. Have him distracted long enough to see that Green Lantern has picked up Flash in outer space and he's flying to the JLL satellite, so that's good. But even though Namek hasn't been defeated, he's out of the count for the moment, so he goes back to the hotel, changes to Clark, and he says, "Good thing I didn't kill him or I'd have to hang up my cape forever." Lois is like, "Clark, you're late," and she goes, and of course, she now has the dread disease that that the Namek is giving through the Rondor horn. So, and that's where the issue ends, is he's got to figure out how to get Namek back and cure Lois and the rest of the people. One fun thing in this one, it does have circulation for October 1st, 1976. So there were 10 issues published that year, which would have cost you $3. And filing at that time was 634,000 copies made. And it looks like actual sold was 377,000. So almost, gosh, my math's not that great, but it's over half sold, but not nowhere near like two-thirds.
Yeah.
So a lot of these books out there, and I think that's why you can find in general the 70 Superman not too terribly expensive. But yeah, fun little weird issue. I love the bits with Lois and Steve. But I always say for people who don't like Superman, you're focusing on the wrong stuff. The Superman is at its best when I think they're really working with
Supporting
the
cast.
supporting cast, and when the supporting cast is really firing is when I like it the best. So it was a fun issue.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Weird
So
vein.
I'm still in DC and I'm jumping a year forward, which makes sense because of the implosion was in 1979, I think. And this is 1978. So in 1978, wonder what that came from. It's like pieces of paper. It's maybe I was disintegrating a comic or something.
Oh, sure.
Might have
They'll
been
do
that
that.
Adventure Comics.
Yeah.
This one is Dynamic Classics number one, which is a reprint comic. It was 44 pages, 50 cents. Right when things were changing at DC, they were gonna start publishing a bunch of different things. This is a reprint from Batman. And or maybe Detective, but it has Denny O'Neil and Neil Adams, so they're your team, which is quite the team.
Yeah.
And it features this couple called the Mutros, and they're in Mexico, and they invite a bunch of rich people over to have a party. And one of the things they decide to have is a balloon race. It's really hard to tell the way the artist Neil Adams drew this. They look like small balloons, but they're people in the gondolas, and you just can't tell by the angle that he showed them, I guess because of the elevation that they're at. And it seems like these Mutros people invited all these rich people so they could kill them and increase their immortality. Which is, they seem to have lived since the 1800s, and now it's, current time, 1970s. And Batman just happens to be there because Bruce is one of the rich guys that was invited to the party.
Right.
And he changes into his costume really fast as this guy's falling from the sky and falling to his death to hit the rocks, but Batman's able to, with his momentum, push him into the water. And they survive. And then he just vanishes. And then Bruce Wayne puts on his outfit again, his nice suit, and goes to kiss the hand of Senorita Mutros. And she's absolutely beautiful. He says, "Man, she is beautiful." And she looks like 10 years younger than Mr. Mutros. And he ends up dancing with her. And later on, there's another rich guy that's getting shot at. Like, they hit the lamp next to him, and who's shooting at him? Like, who's shooting at these cans? No, that's
Exactly.
the
I
jerk.
love that
Someone
image.
hates these cans.
They're
Who's shooting at these lights? And
waiting for the cans.
yeah, he changes into his Batman costume really fast, goes to the hill where the snipers are at, and fights them. Meanwhile, two wolves attack, and Batman's able to. Well, he actually, because the two wolves, they chase him off the mountain, and he actually dives off the cliff. I guess he was proactive and said, "You know what? If I fall off this cliff later on, I'm gonna have a rope
Right.
waiting." So I can't laugh, but it's pretty funny. So he has a rope underneath the cliff, and he says something like, "Well, I was gonna climb the cliff later," And I'm glad I put it there. He says, I figured I might need to get me to the cliff bottom in a hurry, but I didn't foresee that it would save my life
So
or
funny.
provide a convenient listening post. So he's just on the top of the cliff listening to these people talk, and then he knows something's up, that these people are the killers, and they invite some guy into this like flower bed, and they use these flowers, I guess, to increase their mortality and kill people. And Batman comes into that. Then it has a DC profile with Cary Burkett. Talks about his degree and how he tried to get a job at DC Comics and failed to get one as a writer, but they hired him as a editor. Later he became a writer. But there's an editorial in here, which is very interesting, from Janet Kahn, talking about DC and the ex what where they're going with this the raise in price and how much more value they're getting because of the page count. It talks
Right.
about many of their comics going to dollar comics, which is sort of what you were talking about the year before.
Yep.
And all the prices going up, but they said, you loyal readers, we're going to start bringing you extra pages of story, and you're going to start to see Enemy Ace, the Human Target, the Atom, OMAC, and other characters like Cinnamon and the Odd Man and the Amazons. You'll see a lot of back material, back Vixen. I remember Vixen being told she's going to be part of the explosion and never was.
Right.
Swamp Thing, you know. Batlash, a lot of stuff coming out, and she's just saying, you know, be with us, and we have a lot of exciting stuff coming out. Batman's there. They lure him into the room with all those flowers, and then he starts to hallucinate, and they knock him out along with the other guy that they dragged in there, and they plan on killing them. I don't know how they set these like birds of prey on them, and I don't know if they're gonna like poke their eyes out or what, but Batman ends up, it looks like he kills one of the birds and the other one attacks, and I think he kills this one too. He gets the bird in his cape. He like takes his cape off, and then he trapped the bird and then slams it against a
Oh my God,
pillar.
that's exactly what I was envisioning. That's horrible.
And then he gets that torch, and then he throws it into that mausoleum or whatever that was that had the flowers, and he starts to burn it down. And then there's an ad for Clark Bar. Do you remember that Holy Taste Buds? It's the famous Clark Bar, and there was a contest you could win a trip to Gotham. I didn't
Nice.
even know that Gotham
Gotham
existed,
doesn't
but
exist.
appear in a superhero comic book.
Yeah,
And you
very
can win
cool.
all kinds of other prizes like frisbees and flashlights and stickers and kites.
I feel like there was a big Marvel Clark Bar competition at one point too that was like the center pages. Yeah,
Yeah.
Clark was all
Some of
over it.
these prizes, you could win a Superman lamp. You could have a
Nice.
utility belt, parachuting action figures, radio-controlled vehicles. They actually have a Spider-Man with a Batman vehicle, so I guess in this case, if you want a DC one, you could choose a Spider-Man. That's interesting. They have a superhero stamp set, and it looks like they're all Marvel characters.
If you remember, that was the era where like Mego had the license to everybody. So you would have like toy lines that would you could get Spider-Man next to Robin, next to Hulk, next to Superman, you know? Like those pocket heroes, I think they had like all the Marvel and DC characters.
Yeah. And then so when he burned down that flower bed, their mortality, they started to age rapidly, and they ended up dying and falling into their own gray graves. And their graves used to say like 1840 to, and then Batman penned in there 1969. I don't know what he wrote it in there with, maybe blood, I don't know.
Oh,
Maybe
that's
from
hilarious.
the eagles he killed. I don't know.
Yeah,
Somehow.
I looked that up. It looks like it's from Detective 395, and yeah, it came out in November 26, 1969, The
Yeah,
Secret
that
of
would
the Waiting
explain
Girl.
it.
It's, yeah. But that, did you know, apparently that would, I bet the reason they started reprinting there was because that was the first O'Neill Adams issue with Batman.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's sweet. I like that cover. That literally is the graves they're going to end up in.
That's a pretty interesting comic book for sure. I'm glad I picked this. I just randomly opened up a back issue box
Yeah.
and I saw these two. They were actually right next to each other.
Huh.
And I decided to pick them up.
It's a funny title. I get it. They're trying to play off DC. It just, I don't know, it just doesn't work for me for some reason. Like the font or the way that it looks just looks funny.
Well, they're supposed to do another couple of these,
Oh,
and
okay.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, somebody replied to my Twitter with an image of the another book that was supposed to come out. It's called Demand Classics, and it was reprinting The Flash of Two Worlds.
Oh, nice.
And he says number two of this issue was supposed to do the Phantom Stranger. And then another never published was Demand Classics, which was that one.
So yeah, they were all
So
playing off of DC.
plans on some reprints, and for whatever reason, I know, like, just from listening to interviews of this time and stuff like that, podcasts, the comic medium was in bad shape,
Yeah.
at least at DC. I think Marvel was in the same boat. Until they got Star Wars
Right.
in 77 or 78, they were hurting. A matter of fact, almost to go bankrupt, and they Star Wars license kind of saved them.
Well, I
But
want to say they had an implosion of sorts at Star Wars at Marvel as well. Nobody ever talks about it because the DC one was so advertised, but
yeah.
the Marvel, if you get those like early 70s subscription pages, they'll be like, I swear, like 70. Well, maybe not 70. It just feels that way. There's just like ton of titles listed, and you're like, how did they go from there to like the 80s where it was just a handful, you know?
Yeah, there was some guy on eBay selling the I didn't get a copy. I don't know if he did them in limited editions, but they he made Xerox copies of the canceled comics Cavalcade and
Yeah.
just printed them out. I probably should get one at some point. A lot of the canceled comics have been printed in collected editions,
Right.
like the Firestorm one was in a Firestorm trade, and there was a couple other ones and I know that a Creeper one was in the Ditko one, and
With
the
Black
Black there
Lightning?
was a Black Lightning
Yeah,
one in the
that's in
Black
the
Lightning
trade.
trade.
Yep.
Yeah, so there was quite a few of them that they have collected, if not all of them, in some kind of collected edition. But it would be nice to have them all in hand.
Would be.
Then there's the Manhunter. This is Paul Kirk. This is by Archie Goodwin and Walt Simonson. And this is a reprint as well from Detective, I believe. And it's just about a woman that works for Interpol. Her name is Christine St. Clair, that comes to this monastery of some sort in Kathmandu and is looking for Paul Kirk, the Manhunter, and she meets this old man. And the old man's basically telling a story about Manhunter and how he got there and what his objective was. He was going to a city of thieves and trying to track down a person. And that's what the Manhunter does, is he tracks down people. And he did find his man after getting shot with a bunch of arrows and all kinds of other stuff. So I don't
Jeez.
know if he's got like some mystical abilities or what, but he did manage to survive this and get his man at the end of it. And then you learn as the woman from Interpol walks away, she says, "If you hear anything else about him, can you please contact me?" And then as she walks away, the old man pulls off his beard and pulls off his cloak, and it's Manhunter. So he's sort of telling the story of himself. It was a pretty good issue. I liked it. And then there's a nice ad for what you can subscribe to in the Explosion. It has pictures of Detective Comics, Commandy, Army at War, Superman, Superboy, Weird Western Tales featuring Scalp Hunter, Showcase, and All Star Comics. Yeah, what you can order, the 50 Cent titles are Action, Superboy Legion, Superman, Super Friends, Batman, Brave and the Bold, Detective, Flash, Justice League, Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, DC Comics Presents, Ghosts, House of Mystery, House of Secrets, The Unexpected, The Witching Hour, Demand Classics. So there's that
Yeah.
classics we were just talking about. You would send away for it, never get
Right.
it. Secrets of Haunted House, Jonah Hex, Firestorm, Black Lightning, Sergeant Rock, Our Fighting Forces, Unknown Soldier, Weird War Tales, Men of War, Star Hunters, Warlord, Weird Western Tales, Army at War, Dynamic Classics, that's this,
Right.
which just had one issue. Steel, that's the Steel that Kirk has five copies of number five. That's not the Superman Steel, that's the
That's
other
funny.
Steel,
He's got
Commander
five
Steel.
copies?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Battle Classics. So that I think that one did come out, and it only has one issue. That's another
I think
reprint.
it had a couple, maybe, because I feel like I have a couple of those.
Okay, I'll have to look that one up. Showcase, Western Classics. That one, did that one come out?
Nope, you're
I'm
right.
cur
Battle
I'm
Classics was
curious.
just one.
Yeah, Western Classics, was there one of those?
Let me see. What am I thinking of? There was another one that they did a reprint. I don't remember what it was called now. Western Classics doesn't look like it got made.
Okay, so that's one that didn't get made,
No.
but you can subscribe to it. So if you were lucky and say, you know what, I want a copy of Demand Classics and Dynamic Classics and Battle Classics and Western Classics, you would have only got two issues,
You'd have
and
been
then they would
hosed.
have sent you something else, I think.
That's what they do. Yep. They would have sent you probably Jonah Hex for the one, Sergeant Rock for the other, maybe Detective for the dynamic, and I don't know if the other one would have been, but yeah. Because I asked him one time, funnily enough, I called the DC line that they were selling through when you could still get subscriptions during the New 52. They were selling subscriptions, and I was going to do one. And I was like, this one's not even available anymore. So I called the 800 number and I was like, so I want to sign up for this, but Demon Knights actually isn't even around anymore. So how does that work? And they're like, oh, well, if it's one in the ad, they would just send you the thing that's most similar to it. So, if you sign up for Demon Knights, I don't know what the hell they would have sent you, but if you back in those days, if it was a
Maybe
war.
Dark of JLA, I don't know.
Yeah, that would make sense, probably. Yeah, I bet you would have got JLA, Justice League Dark. But yeah, that's what the lady on the phone said. Because I get, apparently that's been going on for forever. A book gets canceled, they just switch you to whatever. It's not like.
So I could just see Kirk, Kirk said is, oh, I'm gonna send away for this, because Kirk did send away for a lot of shit.
Right.
I'm gonna order Sergeant Rock so he'd get that. Demand Classics, Western Classics,
Yeah.
and Dynamic Classics and Battle Classics, and then all we can fill for you, sir, is this.
Right. And here's your subscription to Mad Magazine.
Just to continue, you got Claw the Unconquered, that did come out. Doorway to Nightmare, The Vixen, which never came out, which we talked about.
Right.
All Star Comics, that did come out. Adventure Comics, Superman, these are the dollar ones, by the way.
Yep.
Adventure Comics, Superman Family, World's Finest, Batman Family, GI Combat, and Strange Adventures. Well, I don't remember that being a dollar.
I don't either. Huh.
So I gotta look that one up, because if it is, I need to seek them out.
Yeah, and I feel like they came back with some dollar books too after the implosion too, didn't they? Because there was like those, there was another one of those combat ones where it had like, was it Viking Commando or something? Maybe in the early 80s.
Oh, All Out War.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, Strange Adventures ran for 244 issues. We'll see what some of these later ones look like. I'm thinking, did that come out? It covers 25 cents, 20 cents.
I don't
That
think
one
it did.
never came out either, buddy. Nope,
Yeah.
that one didn't make the
I
cut.
always like to look at these, 'cause
Yeah, that would have
there's an
been cool
Ask
though.
the Answer Man. There's a profile on Steve Mitchell. This talks about Western classics. It's supposed to have A Bat Lash from the 60s and Johnny Thunder from the 50s.
That would have been cool. 'Cause yeah, those 50s westerns are hard to find.
Battle Classics was early Sergeant Rock. Demand Classics was that Flash of Two Worlds. Yeah, so it talks about what these were, and then things must have crashed financially very early
Yeah.
because they put out a plan and then they couldn't even stick to the initial plan.
No, think about how many that didn't come out at all. I mean, it's probably close to a
Yeah.
dozen different ones never even made it. And then like only a handful would have like one issue only. It's
Yeah.
wild.
Well, that's that issue. That was a fun one for sure.
All right, I got one more. And like I told you, I finished up my Battlestar, so I am on Battlestar number 14. And it's got Boxy and the Daggett on the cover. And basically, it says, no point looking for that kid in here. He would have died of deadly radiation. So things don't look too good for. What was the Daggett's name? Muffy and Boxy.
Muffet or Boxy and Muffet,
Yeah.
Moffet, I don't know.
So we are at the end of a story from last issue, where Starbuck is going to have to stay on Scavenger World because he made a promise to the ruler of Scavenger World. So the Galactica and the fleet are flying off, and Starbuck is left behind. This one is written by Roger McKenzie. Layouts are Jim Mooney. Finishes are Claus Janssen. So that's a pretty good looking book. So we are in the issue called Trial and Error. And the Galactic is flying off. And then we got an ad for Epic Magazine. You could be one of the first new charter subscribers for only $6.95, four dazzling quarter issues. That sounds pricey for back then. What year is this? 1980, maybe? Yeah, April 1980. So $7 for four issues. That'd been more than my mom would have allowed me to pay, but you know. Anyway, so
Those
there.
were thick magazine-like heavy metals, though.
Oh yeah. Well, if it was like heavy metal, Miss Crawford definitely wouldn't have let me picked it up then. She'd been like, "What is this trash?" Yeah, so so there's a big party on the Galactica, and Colonel Ty like grabs Athena and goes, "Look at the stars, Athena. Just look at the stars. Aren't they beautiful?" "Why, Colonel Ty, I had no idea you were such a romantic." "Romantic me? Well, carry on, Lieutenant." And Ty like tries to dust off the fact that he was putting the moves on the on Adama's daughter, and Adama's like, "Sorry about that, Adama." And he's like, "I'm not worried about it. I'm worried about the void, sir." And then he's like, "Well, we're out of the void, and I guess I'm just a sentimental old fool." And it has him crying because he hasn't heard laughter in so long. There was also a storyline that Adama just came out where he had been subjected to something called the memory machine, where he was kind of out of it for a couple of issues, and he got taken over by a changeling. So a lot happened in this Battlestar Galactica series. Anyway. So back to the story, we have Muffy and Boxy, and they're sad because Starbuck is no longer with them. And basically, they're like, "Don't worry about it. You know, he did what he had to do." And Boxy's just not having it. So Boxy says, "We're gonna go rescue Starbuck. Come on, Muffy. We need to get a Viper." So him and the Daggett, are going down the hallway, and he says, "Come with me." And the Daggett's like, "Wank, wank, wank," because you know he's like a robot, he's not a real dog. And Boxy gets pissed, and he's like, "Well, you stupid Daggett, don't come then." And so, anyway, moving on. I always was kind of annoyed by Boxy. I like the dog, I never cared for the kid. You?
I felt indifferent, I guess.
Yeah.
He was the kid that Apollo's kid, right?
Yeah,
And
he kind of adopted him and
he
Jane
adopted
Seymour's.
him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they go back to Adama, and Apollo's talking to him, and he's basically saying that they need to have the trial for Sire Yuri. Sire Yuri had basically done some treacherous things. I can't remember the entire storyline, but they need to have a trial to see if he's guilty or not of treason against the fleet. And once again, Adam is talking about the memory machine. And while he was in the memory machine, he remembers something about an ancient inscription and something about a planet that was third from the sun, dun dun dun, which, you know, they're looking for Earth. Next page, funnily enough, is an ad for Heroes World. And it was the action figures we were talking about earlier, Star Wars the Motion Picture. I did not know there were so many of them. There was 12 different figures. They did the basic, Ilea, Decker, Spock, Kirk, McCoy, and Scotty, and one Klingon. But they also had some random aliens that I do not remember at all. And they also have an ad for the Black Hole figures. I never had any of the Black Hole stuff except I had a Vincent model that it took me from about age 7 till age 15 to actually get done. And then by the time we moved, it got broken anyway. So I don't know. I didn't do a whole lot of models, but that was one of the few I'd had. I had that in a big C-3PO.
I was aware of the toys, but I never had any. Oh, I had an Adama, Battlestar Galactica Adama,
I had a
but
Daggett and a Cylon.
none of the Star Trek ones,
Yeah, I think
cause...
Star Trek, I had Kirk and Spock, I want to say, and that was it. I didn't have any of the aliens. Kind of like you were saying about Toys R Us earlier, it was always a big deal for us to go somewhere other than Kmart. So you were kind of at the mercy of what Kmart carried. So when we would get to a store like a Toys R Us or a Sears that carried toys, I wouldn't want to buy stuff that you could get at Kmart. So my toys as a kid, I had a lot of Star Wars, a lot of G.I. Joe, a lot of He-Man, a lot of superpowers. But there'd be a lot of series like Flash Gordon, where I only had the Lizard Woman, Star Trek, where I just had Kirk and Spock, Buck Rogers, where I just had the lady with the weird horns on her head, Battlestar Galactica, I had a Daggett and a Cylon. You know what I mean? Because like either they were at Kmart and they were gone quick. Or I'd be at Toys R Us and I could only get one. So I'd be like, I want a Flash Gordon toy. And whatever reason, the only one they would have would be like some weird random character. They wouldn't have Flash or what was the other character on there? Didn't he have like a lion friend or something from that show?
On which one?
The Flash
Flash
Gordon?
Gordon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They never had the cool ones, but anyway, that was toys for me as a kid. I had a lot of random stuff that played with
That
everybody.
was a good cartoon, the Flash Gordon one. That was good.
It was.
Yeah.
Back on the Viper, Apollo's off to try to find Sayuri, the rising star. Boxy and the Daggett are trying to find the way to get to the flight deck, but they've taken the wrong turn. But the Daggett can't say anything other than yip yip and whine, so he can't tell Boxy that Boxy's being an idiot. And he goes to a danger area where there's a bunch of radiation. Apollo goes on to the rising star. They're partying just like they were on the Galactica. He's got to find someone who can testify against Sayuri, and it's a woman named Medea. The woman is trying to get away, but the crowd catches her, and they kind of turn into a lynch mob. And he basically has to grab her and get her out of there as quick as he can so he can go to trial. At the trial, Sayuri is about to be found innocent, and then we flip the page and an ad for gunfighting do's and don'ts. And this is a classic. I swear I've seen this Hubba Bubba ad so many times in my life, probably because I've read between a childhood and adulthood a bunch of comics from 1980. But it's the one of how to blow a bubble, what you're supposed to do and what you don't do. And it has a kid dressed up like a gunfighter blowing a bubble. And then there's one kid who says he chewed the wrong bubble gum, and so he's got a bag on his head, probably because gum stuck to his face. But anyway, that was the big thing when we were kids, is there was bubble gum that was like crap, like double bubble that would get stuck to your face, and there was the good gum like Hubba Bubba where it would just peel right off if you blew a bubble and it popped. So don't chew the cheap stuff. Boxy and the Daggett are trying to sneak past a couple of guards, and the guard is in the middle of saying that the engine room is running hot as a furnace. There's a radiation leak, and it's not safe in there. Once again, Boxy is too much of a moron, is not paying attention, and decides that's where he has to go because he's still trying to get to the flight deck. Nice house ad for King Conan, and it tells you that this is Roy Thomas, John Buscema, and Ernie Chan teaming up to bring you not just King Conan, but also the Son of Conan, and now the third comic magazine that's coming out from Marvel. And speaking of which, if you look at what they're offering these days at Marvel, not only do you have the classics, Spidey and stuff, and Avengers, you got at this point at Marvel, you got Battlestar Galactica, Conan, ROM, Machine Man's got a book, Man-Thing's got a book, Micronauts, Shogun Warriors, Spidey Super Stories, Star Trek, and Star Wars, and What If. So this is a great era of Marvel books for me, or maybe I'm just nostalgic, but like a lot of those licensed books that I really enjoy were almost all of them were coming out in this era. And
Yeah.
that's my next one I'll probably finish. I'm one shy of Micronauts, so I should finish that one off. And
That's
then
also coming up in an omnibus.
I know I'm torn if
It's
I'm
in
going
the
to
new previews.
I'm probably going to buy it just because I want Micronauts stuff to come out, but it's one of those I don't need because I have almost every issue. But
Right.
I'm probably going to get it anyway. Don't tell my wife. Luckily, she never listens to any of my podcasts unless the kids are on it, so I'm safe. Shogun Warriors will probably be the next one I work on because that's another one where I have a handful and I want to finish it. It's pretty short. So Apollo brings in Medea. He's like, I've got evidence, and they read the evidence, and Sire Yuri is arrested. One of the guards comes in and says, hey, I just found out something about your son. We can't find him. So they decide they got to go look for him. And Boxy is like the biggest idiot in the planet because now he's like a heavily shielded bulkhead. And he's like, I've got to get to the Vipers. So he opens this door that looks like something definitely is not going to lead you to a flight deck. And it says, and he steps directly into hell. And it just shows radiation shooting every which way. It's the giant engine room. And within minutes, he's like completely knocked out. Not even minutes, minute, he's knocked out. The Daggett runs to save him. And, he's made out of like fur and metal and plastics. So immediately he starts to melt. But he drags the kid close enough to the door that when the guards and Apollo open the door, Boxy's close enough that they're able to rescue him and he's okay. Apollo's taking Boxy off and he goes, Muffy, Muffy's gone, son. He loved you very much, but it was more than life itself, I guess. Just like Starbuck, he did what he had to do. And you see Boxy crying, and the Daggett is a molten mess. And the guy picks him up. Come on, boy, we're going home. So I don't know about you, man, but I have got to read issue number 15 to find out if that Daggett made it. Because, I mean, as a kid, Twiggy and the Daggett were like my favorites. So maybe they killed him off because at this point the show would have been pretty much toast. And, maybe they're like, I mean, they used to get away with a lot more, I think, the licensed comics in those days. So maybe they killed him off. I don't know. But that was issue
Yeah.
14.
Nice. I don't have another one. I just did the two.
Nice. Okay.
I think we could wrap this one up. Thanks for joining me. We talked a lot. Like, I think we
Yeah.
went an hour before we even got to the comics.
And we did.
But it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And good talking about the canceled. We were in the same era there for a little bit, so,
Yeah.
you
Well,
know.
we stayed in that 10-year era anyway. I think pretty much
Yeah.
70 to 80.
Yeah.
Nice
So,
Bronze Age stuff.
nice Bronze Age when comics weren't doing so good, except for the licensing.
Right?
Yeah. All right, so you can reach Joe at Iowa's Joe on Twitter. And are you on Blue Sky
I
now?
am at Iowa's Joe on Blue Sky as well. Yep.
Yeah, same here. I'm at Mike Myers Brunch at both locations. You can find us at geekbrunchpodcast.com and also at Facebook at Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button, follow all the episode threads there. And should see you again, and hopefully, some of us will be here in 2 weeks,
Yeah.
but we'll see who can make it. But take it easy, and I hope you have a rest of your good s Sunday.
You too, ma'am. It was great talking to you.
Great talking to you too. Take care.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.